There are some more men who ought to be strapped to a gurney and castrated with fishing knives.
Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, eats out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit. What is entertainment? Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What? What? Not tomorrow. Not after breakfast. Now.
The FCC, an appointed body, not elected, answerable only to the president, decided on its own that radio and television were the only two parts of American life not protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Why did they decide that? Because they got a letter from a minister in Mississippi.
What's this? Two comedians doing another radio show? This ought to be good.
Conti. The self-loathing, insecure, egomaniac whose gambling issues and creepiness is only overshadowed by his savant-like knowledge of dates and numbers and his keen sense of direction.
I'm a prostitute.
Nothing better than having an old Polish woman jerk you off.
Have you ever been raped by an uncut cock?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, that tickles.
Kenny, a functioning alcoholic whose flair for waffling and fence riding is second to none. A metrosexual who is an emotional tube sock with a touch of brilliance for the obscure.
You know how easy it is to get pants off a guy who's a quadriplegic?
I drink all the time. I don't care who it is. If it's a dude or a girl, if somebody starts kissing my neck, sometimes shit happens.
I'm a beautiful disaster.
And I could hear my liver humming. I didn't know I was pregnant.
Shut up!
All this banging talk makes my penis twitch.
Together, they are the Conti and Kenny Show.
Two queers in a room by ourselves.
The vision is real. The power is reawakening. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Conti and Kenny Show. We are live June 22nd, 2015. Thanks for giving us a listen.
Yeah, and thanks a lot, Brent, in the chat room.
What did Brent do?
June 22nd, 2008, George Carlin died.
Oh, that's right. And June 22nd, 2009 is when Michael Jackson died. Oh, and good. This is the first... Dave was the one that told me when Michael Jackson died.
Yeah, oh, you mean when it happened, I told you.
Yes.
Because I knew before it happened.
Yeah, yeah, it happened. It was during the day. It was early in the day. Yeah.
A buddy of mine in the news texted me just before it was on anything. It said Michael Jackson just died. And I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. That's true.
Yeah.
Me, Otto, and Johnny.
And then I told you.
Hammered.
Yep. Dave texted me at like 11:30 in the morning to let me know that Michael Jackson died. I'm like, sitting there, really? I was at the gym at the time, and all the televisions going, not one of them said anything about
it. How cool did
you feel? I was like, oh, shit, I know. The King of Pop's dead.
Yeah, how cool, did you feel being the one guy there?
Yeah, and nobody knew.
Am I coming out staticky, or is that just the mic?
It's the mic. When you replay it, you don't hear it.
It's just the feedback. All right, great.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, that was something. I mean, and that's also, unfortunately, and I feel really bad about this, and I'm not saying this, because I actually shouldn't even be saying this on the air, because I'm ashamed that this happened. It was an accident. I accidentally kind of broke Geraldo's death the same way, because I heard on Twitter, just from like Norton's Twitter, that Geraldo had died, but there was nothing on any news. Just saw a tweet that someone said he died, and I called the same guy to be like, oh, this guy always knows who's dead. And I called him and said, hey, is this true that Greg Geraldo died? And the guy said, hold on, let me check the newsroom. Nope, no one knows a thing about it. 2 minutes later, they were the ones who broke that on the news he died.
Oh, wow.
This guy knows who died.
Because I accidentally had, because I thought.
He's a news writer and an undertaker.
I didn't realize I was going to be the one telling them. I was hoping they would tell me.
Yeah, you were looking for affirmation.
It was a really weird moment when I was like, and then they said, we are the first person to break the story. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did I just do?
Stop hanging out with that guy. Too many people. He knows when you're going to die.
Well, anyway, if you don't know, that's Dave Cyrus, our pal.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't even say.
Sitting in, drinking green goop.
Yeah.
Straight from the mason jar.
There's three bottles of it.
Three bottles of it.
Nice horseradish jar.
Put it on the camera. Show it on the camera.
I want to taste
it. Here.
No, well, this is make sure you show it all, because this right here is 1 pound of spinach in 3 mason jars, because what I do is I take the spinach, put it in the blender with some water, blend it, put it in the jar, and then add just like a token amount. So you got that naked juice, which, by the way, no one should ever. This is not a meal.
It's loaded with sugar. It's all sugar.
So what I do is, as you saw, I just take like this much, like a shot's worth.
Yeah, a tablespoon
of the
just
juice.
To give it a little.
Just
so
to give it something of a taste.
Could you throw honey in it?
How does?
I wouldn't, because I don't want. I don't want to ruin it with sugar. You could.
Little bit, just so you're not just drinking a spinach, you know.
Slurry. Yeah.
Is that what you're calling
it? I don't call it juice, because it's not juice. The people who juice remove the fiber, and that's where you're a sucker, because then you're still getting all this sugar. You gotta basically just have another. This is just another delivery system of making a pound of spinach go inside my body, because this is the easiest way
instead
to do it.
Instead of eating it.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not gonna sit there and eat a pound of spinach like an asshole.
I put that shit back in the yard where it belongs. I used to see those things hanging around. They would have mosquito larvae in it when I was a kid.
I've seen that on the inside of UPS trucks.
I had no idea naked drinks had sugar.
Oh, they're loaded, dude.
Oh, it's like two Cokes.
These rock bands.
There's
dudes,
as much sugar as two Cokes in this.
They swear by it. These organic guys. Yeah. They fuck
naked,
rock stars. They
is
love
that the naked one.
Yeah, and they don't know what they're doing. This, like I said, this whole thing, this will last me through 2 pounds of spinach. So that's exactly how it'll work. This whole pound of spinach, I'll go through less than half this bottle. So that way, you're really not wasting your time. See, the whole thing about it is, I want to be pretty. And I don't want to do anything. I don't want to have to worry about anything. And I realized the reason I was a sucker is I've been eating all these years. If you just stop eating, and just when you get hungry, you just keep drinking this disgusting crap until you're. And here's the thing, because it both makes you full and nauseous. So then
you don't want to eat afterwards either.
Exactly. People be like, well, I drank it, I was still hungry. I'm like, then drink another one. What if you're still hungry? Then fucking drink another one. A pound of spinach a day, even if you're eating whatever you want besides that, you're going to lose weight. For two reasons. One, you're replacing all these calories with something healthy. But number two, especially at first, you just become a shit engine. You just become something that takes in moisture and shits it out within seconds. Like, I don't know if you know this, but basically Popeye was shitting 14 times a day. For Popeye to
make sure look constipated.
Popeye would have just been a constant stream of diarrhea. Like, people said that this is a gay diet, you know, because it's a kind of diet like only gay guys and drag queens bother with, going this crazy. And I realized I didn't think there was anything gay about it until I realized my asshole is not completely shut in weeks. I know that's a horrible joke,
but now how do you
but it's true.
It's hilarious.
All you do is take spinach and water and then throw it in a blender, and then you pour it into there.
Are you eating it right in? That's the whole point, is not remove anything.
Yeah.
That's how, and if you want to really lose weight, if you want to really be in shape and not have this bullshit cleanse, I mean, this is like actually healthy. Like, this is actually good for me. And I've never eaten vegetables my whole fucking life.
Why spinach over broccoli or kale?
Oh, because I just hate the taste of kale and lettuce.
Okay.
So I use spinach because that's the only green leafy vegetable I can
stomach. That you really like. Okay.
Are you eating any other meals?
Oh, I'm eating a regular meal every day.
Okay.
But if I can replace one or two meals with this, I mean, it makes such a nice difference.
I got what you're saying.
Wow.
It's disgusting, but I got what you're saying.
No, it's gross. But you know what? You kind of get used to the taste.
Yeah.
I take a little carrot and beet juice. I didn't realize carrot and beets together actually tasted good. Like, it really, I swear, it's all sugar. You mix like a little bit, a shot's worth of that with a big glass of spinach. And you know what? After a few weeks, you're actually getting to the point when you're hungry, you're like, I could go for one of those right now. Just because you remember making you not hungry anymore. But I mean, for the first few weeks, I mean, just make sure you don't have to be anywhere at any specific time. Because you're going to have a 10-second window between, you know, I think I have to shit, and out of you.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
That distance between your, you know, your system and the brain, which usually might be a nice little route to the point where you're like, oh, I got to go,
right,
is shortened tremendously.
I take the probiotic. Are you still taking the probiotic?
Yeah.
It improves things immensely.
Oh,
you know?
One down.
Yeah.
I definitely want to try that. Definitely
absolutely.
Want to try it.
Yeah, get yourself a glass. I can give you some.
And I got a snapper lawnmower.
If you can handle this, if you can get used to this, you don't have to jog. And I still jog. You don't have to, like, eat salad. Like, anytime anyone has any vegetable, I'm like, I'm good for the day. I don't need any goddamn vegetables the rest of my life.
What about back home with the Chinese food?
What about it?
Are you getting any of it?
I had it last night.
Okay.
I had a giant thing of Chinese food last night after...
Because that's your thing. Every time you come back to
because that's where the back home. Yesterday, exactly what I did. I drank two of these.
And had some Chinese?
And then had Chinese food.
There you go.
Two of those.
Yeah. This right here. This amount.
And then you had dinner.
Yeah.
Well, that was like for an his hour day. Late. That was for
like an hour. The whole day, you're saying?
Oh, no. I'd only eaten like a breakfast that day.
Oh, okay.
It was like 9 o'clock at night, so I was hungry.
So you were sipping on that, you know, all day drinking?
Oh, no. I slammed both of these.
Oh, my God.
Around 6 o'clock and then went to dinner at like 8.
Divestic Milan says put coconut water in it.
Yeah.
Tastes better.
Coconut water? You know, no. The whole, that's the... I don't want it to taste better. I don't want... Everyone's like, hey, add orange juice to it. Add coconut. I want it to be a disgusting slush. The worse it is, the more good for me it's going to be, and the faster I'll lose weight. That's all I care about. That's what I'm saying. That's Everyone's funny. Just like, why don't you put some juice in it? Put some honey. Put some this and that. And I'm like, all you are doing is slowing down the progress of me. If I can just close my eyes and pretend it's not happening, and I can get a pound of spinach inside my body, I win.
That White Ass Brent has a good point. I want to try that one. Try the naked and afraid diet. Get naked in front of a chick. If she says ew, then you eat bugs and dirt for 21 days. Those guys, they lose like 30 pounds
Oh, by the way, speaking of the message board, you know who I found out? Didn't say anything to me, but then I found out later on Twitter, saw me and Pete Davidson at the Stress Factory, Jake Link.
Oh yeah.
He was. I got a tweet, and someone goes, "Hey, me and Jake Link just saw Dave Cyrus and Pete Davidson." I'm like, "Fucking say hi to me." What do you think? What do you think? I'm that famous? I'm not even partially famous. I'm negative famous. There are less people who know me than some popular high school students.
Yeah, I don't know why Jake wouldn't say hello. I would, you know.
Maybe he could do. Maybe where they were sitting, and maybe when the show was over, there was no way to find you
guys.
Right,
just two shows a night. And yeah, had a great time at the Stress Factory.
Yeah, open up for Pete.
Open up
Davidson.
For Pete. Yes, saw Vinnie Brand for the first time in God knows how many years. You know, everything.
Yeah,
was,
that was an interesting.
Everything was great. Everything was great, Joe.
Everything worked out really
everything
well,
was
right?
Great. It was really nice to see everybody. It was really nice to perform in that club again. So let's talk about the news.
How was your Father's Day, fellas?
That was good. I went to Luger's.
You went to what?
Peter Luger's.
Nice.
Steak place.
Yeah, I drink three of those fuckers right now if I can go have a Peter Luger's.
Is that good place? Oh. I never been there. The only one I ever been to is Ruth Chris, which is like a fancy one or whatever.
Well, it's
Peter Luger's is better?
Yeah, a little better. Yeah, Peter Luger's is known for being possibly the best steak in New York.
Yeah. I had a good one. The old Homestead in a meatpacking district was a pretty good one.
I think I liked Sparks better. If I had to say, I think my best steak was Sparks. You know Sparks in Manhattan?
Yeah, so did Castellano.
Yeah. That's where, Vinny the Chin had Castellano killed?
No, it was John Gotti.
Oh, John,
had,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, had Castellano. Yeah,
Vinny the Chin.
No, Vinny, what is it? Vinny the Chin Gigante?
Gigante, yeah.
Yeah, that was like a famous...
Yeah, he was the one that walked around in a robe for 6 years pretending to be crazy.
Really?
Yeah. And he finally
pretending
died.
To be crazy.
Yeah,
you know, for
yeah.
the courts.
For insanity.
A lot of guys have done that. Fat Tony Salerno did that, didn't he? That was a famous
It's basically
thing.
The Jamie Farr thing on MASH, right?
Yeah.
Like a woman, but...
Can we just talk about Jamie Farr on MASH for just a second?
Sure.
The character Jamie Farr was, of course, a drag queen who was trying to get out of the Korean War by being sanctioned as gay or crazy.
Crazy.
Right, so he was just a drag
Section
queen.
Section 8, I think it was.
Yeah, Section 8. It was supposed to be that he was crazy, and that's why he was just in drag for all those years. I get it, it was just a joke for a show, but, like, wouldn't after, like, the second day, you'd just be like, all right, well, the dress isn't working.
It's not working, exactly. It's obvious, he tried it, and he started to enjoy it.
It sounds to me like, he was wearing a dress for, like, 12 years. It seems to me like this, he was never trying to get out of a Section 8, he just wanted an excuse.
He wanted to be able to wear a dress.
To be the person he wanted to be.
Absolutely.
If you think about it, it's a funny character, you know, it's a funny thing to put into a...
But just, like, the whole time, you're just like, it's not working.
Yeah.
Why are you still wearing this unless you... Look, if you are more comfortable in that dress, God bless you.
And where's he getting all those clothes?
Oh, yeah. He's clearly killing Korean women. I mean,
yeah,
it was the Korean War. They could do whatever they wanted.
And I've always said that he... Oh, I always thought that he was the guy from Porno, Jane's Addiction.
Oh,
Perry Farrell.
Perry Farrell, yeah.
I always thought that he was just like
porno for
his
pyros.
Father.
Yeah, porno for pyros.
I always said that he's like his, his illegitimate father.
I just
father.
Met Perry Farrell a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he looked to me. Yeah. He looks just like Jamie.
Looks
Farr.
Awful.
Well, oh, he looks awful.
He looks crazy.
He's doing heroin for 30 years. Yeah. What do you want from the guy? Yeah.
It just a lot. He just looks. I don't know, like not real.
He's a 55-year-old man who lives off cigarettes, heroin, and Red Bull.
What do you... And paloozas.
By the way, speaking of that, you know who doesn't look good for his age is a guy named Iggy Pop. You know, you guys know Iggy Pop, of course. A friend of mine. Not a friend of mine. I was watching a fight, and this old African-American gentleman at the bar. Like, you know, one of those, like, you know, like a, you know, those 50-year-old guys. He's got, like, glasses, a button-down shirt. Seems like a real, like, square. And he's telling me about how he used to buy heroin buy crack in the 80s in the L.A. 80s. And he goes, one day I'm buying crack. And I was like, where? He goes, oh, downtown L.A. And I'm like, I know what downtown L.A. really well, because that's where my friends, like, do music in the worst part of it. And I was like, where? He goes, San Pedro and Fifth. I'm like, I park there every other day, you know, because that's where, you know, you walk through. And there's never any trouble because everyone assumes you're buying heroin. So if you're a white guy walking through there, they're just like the dirty, like the fucking most scary guy there is just like, right this way, sir. So anyway, so he says to me, he's doing that. And some blonde guy with no shirt walks up to him and goes, hey, do you know where you can get the heroin around here? And he goes, oh, no, this is crack. Heroin's two blocks over. And then his friend goes, man, that guy's not even going to make it the two blocks. And he goes, I think he will. That's Iggy Pop.
Wow.
So
the fact that he was Iggy Pop was the reason why he might have made it.
Well, the fact that, like, this is a guy probably buying heroin every other day.
Wow.
He probably does the thing that Danny Bonaducci said. You just listen to the news on the local radio and wait till they say that there was a shooting and then go there.
And he's got the worst looking skin ever.
Oh, Iggy Pop?
Yeah. He's just...
He's constantly shirtless.
He looks like he died of AIDS twice.
He's just constantly shirtless.
And it's just funny because, I mean, he's such a... I saw him in concert once.
Yeah.
At Roar Tour. Look, this was way past his prime and he was still belting it out. I give him all the credit in the world.
He's got
that dehydrated, like, superhero body. You know, like, he looks like a superhero that got, like, left in salt for a few years.
It does look like he, he, like, just survives on, like, you know, Twistix and soda. Like, he doesn't look like he...
What are Twistix?
He looks exactly Twistix. Like Joan Van Ark. Look up Joan Van Ark.
Holy shit.
And look...
Oh, my God.
Look at Joan Van
Ark.
You don't even have to...
I don't even have to do it.
You got it, right?
Wow! Joan Van Ark now!
Yes, of course.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he has looked like Joan Van Ark for 30 years.
Wow.
Right?
That's funny.
Oh.
He looks like Iggy Pop.
Wow. And she's had work done.
Oh, Jesus.
And he probably looks better than her, and he's got no work done.
She took an old Stooges album and said, can you make me look like this?
If Iggy Pop was on MASH, he'd be Joan Van Ark.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ew.
If anybody who's listening want to go in the chat room, it's morelikeradio.com/live. All right?
Joan, that's funny.
Is there a Wi-Fi here?
Yes, there is.
Get that later.
I think you can. Yeah, we'll get you.
Tell it to me on the air.
Yeah. Oh, the password.
Yeah.
But Father's Day. What about you, Ken? Did you see? Did you see good old Dad?
Hey, your dad, and your stepmom were going to be down there at your stepbrother's place. No, I didn't see him. I have to call him. Actually, I didn't even talk to him.
No, you didn't talk to him?
He didn't answer his fucking phone. He's down there. He's down there having a couple of pops there, Joe.
Down by AC?
Yeah, no. My stepbrother runs a hotel down in LBI.
Oh, okay.
And, so they went down there. My brother was down there because they live in that neighborhood. But my brother, it was kind of weird. Sent him a happy Father's Day.
But he's not a father yet.
Not yet, but he's, I mean,
he's got a
bun in the oven.
So he's in a happy expectant Father Day?
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was kind of cool. I was like, happy Father's Day, brother.
Yeah, all right.
And other than that, I didn't even realize it was Father's Day. Like, I had no, Father's Day isn't one of those holidays that, not because I don't like,
it's
me
not
and my
big.
Father. My me and my father get along perfectly fine. We
yeah,
out,
I mean, nobody, you know why? Because you know, it's not a day that you know what number, like Valentine's Day is always February 14th.
Right.
You know, so you never know. You just know it's in June somewhere. You know Mother's Day is in May somewhere.
Yeah.
So unless you're actually reminded of it, you don't know.
But it's always a different day. It's a, because it's like, it's one of those things where if it's a same day every year, you know, but if it's like the third Sunday of something, it's hard.
That's what I'm saying, because they always try to make it a Sunday along with Mother's Day.
My friend Sophia Alexandra does a joke about how, you know, America doesn't have a lot of good fathers because you can always get into a restaurant on Father's Day. Mother's Day, you need like weeks in advance. And Father's Day, you can just walk the fuck in. Can I tell you guys real quick why I'm in town? Because I have to tell this story.
Sure.
Absolutely.
He doesn't listen to this show, so I can say whatever the fuck I want. And he doesn't follow me on Twitter, so I have no problem making fun of him. He's one of my oldest friends. You don't know him. But like, he's friends with that guy, Jeremy, that you know.
Oh, okay.
We've been friends since high school. He got married, and he had the most expensive to go to wedding you've ever goddamn heard of.
For the people that went.
Yes. Let me explain.
Really?
First of all, I was in his wedding party.
Okay.
So thank you. You know, I'm his groomsman. And here's how this wedding shaped up. Number one. Bachelor party in New Orleans, because he's in New York, all his groomsmen are in California, so he was like, well, I'm not going to fly out for my own goddamn bachelor party. I'm going to make us all fly to one place that none of us live in as an adventure. So you have to fly to New Orleans, which costs more than flying from New York to L.A.
Of course.
And, you know, you spend a weekend there, spend all this extra money, all that shit, you know, get money on a... on a this and that. Now, did I already say his name?
No.
Okay, good.
Spend money on this and that.
No, yeah. Well, you got to pay
New
for
Orleans,
yeah. You got to pay for strippers. You got to pay to go to the strip club. You got to buy the liquor and all this stuff.
Right,
you know,
it's
his bachelor party. Here's the thing about it, though. He's in the poly community. He's a polysexual.
What's a poly?
It means that you...
Like you enjoy crackers? What does that mean?
It's not...
I don't know what that means.
I've been told it is not the same thing as being a swinger. A swinger is someone who just goes to parties and swaps his wife with another couple. A poly person is someone who goes to parties and has romantic relationships with multiple people. So he's a poly. So he's getting married. He's married. He's getting married. And he's, he's going to continue living that lifestyle. And that's perfectly fine.
He's marrying a woman or?
Yeah, yeah. No, he's marrying a woman. They're perfectly...
And he has romantic relationships with other women?
Yes.
And what does she do? Have romantic... Is she a poly also?
She also has romantic relationships with other, presumably, men and women. And they're going to... And that's their life. And that's perfectly fine.
But,
you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
No,
they're happy
mean,
with each
if,
other.
If
found what makes them
they're
happy.
They're both on the same page.
What if Brent wants to Google
gonna,
him?
And they're gonna,
what's his name?
And they're gonna find out that they're going to go... You know, they're going to continue doing this after they're married. And you know what? I think that is perfectly fine. I just don't know... I just think that if you're going to continue having this hedonistic lifestyle after you get married, then I shouldn't have to pay for your fucking bachelor party.
Thank you.
When the rest of your life
is a bachelor party.
Yes.
Now it makes sense. Yeah. I see it. Now I see it.
That's totally,
you're absolutely right.
Totally.
And I'm just looking around and I'm like, you know what? This is all well and good, but do you know how much money I just spent on that stripper?
Yeah, exactly.
You're absolutely
right. I spent money on a stripper where you're going to actually get the real thing when you get back from your honeymoon.
Yes.
When you possibly know, on the honeymoon. On the-
when you buy
depending
a stripper,
on where you go.
When you buy, when you get strippers, you're hoping for what he's going to live the rest of his life.
Right.
Every weekend or every time they get together.
Yes.
And that's what he's getting the whole time. And
yeah,
you're
you
buying a stripper?
You shouldn't have a bachelor. Look, unless you if you want to have a bachelor party, but if you have that lifestyle, your bachelor party is limited to either steak dinner, and gambling, golf.
Nowadays, the bachelor party, for
that's
the
all
most
it is.
Part, it's...
steak dinner, golfing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the whole stripper thing. You
couple
know,
of, you it, know it, guys, a couple of cigars, the guys that don't smoke cigars.
I mean, you know, you stop into a strip club.
I went to another bachelor party a week before from my good friend, another friend of mine, Marty. He just got married. You know what we did? We drove an hour away. We skydived. We all went skydiving, and then went to a gun range. Shot off some guns, first time in a gun range.
Is that the first time you ever shot a gun?
No, I did once when I was like 14.
Okay.
We went to the gun...
Are you training for ISIS or something?
We went skydiving, we went to the gun range, you know, had some drinks. It was great.
That's, fucking skydiving.
That's kind of cool, though.
Well,
I mean, that's different.
It was fun. I didn't have to fly to fucking New Orleans.
Skydiving in a gun range.
And
that's fucking manly, dude.
So let's just go about how much money this thing cost me, okay? So I got to fly to New Orleans. I got to, you know, put in all that money to eat in New Orleans, hang out in New Orleans, you know, pay for strippers. Okay, then I got to fly back. I got to fly from L.A. to New York for the wedding, right? Then I got to rent a car to drive from New York to where the wedding is, which was in the middle of fucking nowhere, all right? Then I had to pay for my own suit. As a groomsman, he didn't want to settle for the rented suits, rented tuxes. He made me buy a $350 suit to bring to wear once at this wedding.
That's, couldn't just do the... do the tux thing?
Nope. I had to. He decided he wanted matching suits for his groomsmen, and we had to.
Fuck
and
this.
Why
guy.
Couldn't they match? Why couldn't they be matching tuxedos?
Because that wasn't what he wanted.
And so I had to spend, over
so
here.
Exactly $300 for the suit. Another $70 to tailor the suit.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Then what part of the suit? $50 for a plain white button-down shirt. Because obviously none of us owned that before. Didn't have the op, just send it to us and said, all right, you owe me this amount of money.
Wow.
Okay. 3-day wedding, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The wedding was on a Friday. The rehearsal is on a Thursday, and then the after party is on a Saturday. So that's how much fucking money. So I had to miss opening for Pete at the Brea Improv all weekend. So that's hundreds and hundreds of dollars
shit.
I would have gotten for like Thursday through Sunday. And the one time I'd be opening for Pete, someplace I don't have to fucking fly to because it was an hour from my house.
Right.
So I would have kept all that money. So there's money lost for that. There's the two sets of flights. There's the renting the car, the driving back and forth, the hotel for the 3 days, and the $350 fucking dollars for that suit. And the day before we leave, he goes, oh, by the way, make sure you wear brown shoes and a brown belt. I'm like, I don't fucking own brown shoes. Why the fuck would I own brown shoes? I don't wear colors in my suits. I have black shoes because I'm a fucking adult.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not either a four-year-old or your grandpa in the 1960s that I would have different colors of dress shoes. I wear a suit every other fucking year.
So I'm an adult. That's fucking funny.
And you know what? I don't give a shit about talking about this because he won't follow me on Twitter.
Why?
Because he said, he goes, I don't know, you tweet too much. I tweet, I have like 1,300 tweets over the last 5 years.
Yeah, I even have more than that.
Yeah, no, he's like that's why I was just like, I don't care. I am using this for my act. And I'll tell you something else about
It's going to be a great bit. Big Sky Will, Dave, your pal sounds like a dick.
My whole family was like demanding I not go to this wedding.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I was in the fucking bridal, in the groomsman party, and they were demanding I don't go to this wedding. And
is this the Marty one?
No. Marty.
I know Marty.
Is the other guy. Marty's the guy who had a normal, good bachelor party.
You went skydiving and then shooting.
We went to his wedding. Once again, 40 minutes away. Beautiful wedding.
Hey, mine's on a Sunday.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, well, actually, his was a Sunday, too. Yeah, so, okay, the last thing about this is what I learned going to. So I went to one of their sex parties. You know, they had like a little. They tried to put together a little, you know, sex. That's why they have a little poly party.
Sure, sure. I'm keep going.
Here's what I noticed about this Polly party. First of all, so it's like all his friends, and then he invited like girls over, and I'm just looking around like, man, I feel really bad for any girl who comes to this party. What a bunch of losers just sitting around with their shirts off. Just like seriously, just like sitting around. Fucking half of them were like getting undressed before the girls got there because they wanted to show the girls they were serious. And then we're talking about guys who looked like high school principals who were just standing around naked when there's no women there yet. And here's
this is starting to creep me out a little
but
bit.
But here's what I found out. Here's the dark, seedy underbelly of the poly community. After you have sex, after the sex is over and you get all that dirty, no strings attached hedonism out of your system and you're at this party and you're just like, ah, oh, that was great. You have to talk to these people for like fucking hours.
Yeah. And let's face it.
And that's where I draw the line. That's where I get freaked out.
And I think reality shows prove it, that people, most people, are absolutely fucking boring. And that's why I don't watch any of the, I don't find people's lives interesting. I don't care how much they juice them up with producers.
Was anybody there sitting like Indian style? Just sitting there and commiserating?
One guy.
Indian style.
Oh, if anybody sits fucking Indian style is a fucking jerk off.
No, there was one guy. There was one
Indians
dude.
Should sit Indian style. Yeah, right? Because I'm picturing like some kind of a real sex powwow.
There was one dude doing naked handstands. In lieu of conversation. That's what I want you to understand this crowd was like. And I want to be clear about this. The reason I felt so bad is because, like, and I'm not trying to be, like, a dick about this. I'm being honest. I was the Beyonce of this party. I was the catch of this party. That is how pathetic this was.
How many offers did you get? Did you get any? Were you participating or you were just observing?
There were no women. The women didn't show up. Yes, yeah, so they just hung out naked.
Guys. The women didn't show up.
That's why I was like, I thought at least when women don't show up, it's like, all right, whatever, we'll just have some beers, hang out. But no, they still had to get naked. That's it. They still had to like...
This is getting better. My kind of party.
It was really that fucking... The good, you know, friends who existed before he found this community not that long ago are all just like, wow, this is...
Did you see this coming, this being friends with him that long? Did you see... Was he a little left...
I went from a Molly party to a Lolly party.
Was he always a little left of center?
No. It's the opposite. He was a fucking yuppie. He was the friend of ours who got, like, yuppie-ish.
So this is total surprise, this kind of lifestyle decision? Not when you first found out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
But I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, why wouldn't you? If you're with a girl who's like, yeah, if you, all you need to, people are like, well, and friends are like, well, because he's a different kind of guy that he's willing to like, have sex with different women all the time. And I'm like, no, there's nothing different about that. All men would do that if it was an option.
Sure.
Makes him different is that he doesn't mind his buddies fucking his girlfriend.
Right. That's the thing.
That's the difference between this and other people.
Guys, yep. That's exactly right.
That's the issue, and you know what? It's a friend of mine was telling me, and it makes a lot of sense, because he lives, you know who I'm talking about, my friend Rich Woods.
Of course, yeah.
Well, they live that. I don't know if they live poly, but they live that lifestyle.
Swingers. They say swingers, yeah.
And the difference is that they meet up at different places where it's another couple, and if the couples gel and they like each other. Then if there's an attraction, if the women are a go at it with the other guy, then, you know, basically if everybody's into it. And it makes, dude, and if you think about it, let's say you're married 20 years and 3 times a year you go to a party or a thing and you get to have sex with another woman. In the time that you're married, you got to bang 60 different women.
Yep.
How many guys would say, oh, well, you know, that doesn't
that's
sound
109
very...
yards of dong, though, that she's that, taken into her
who
throat.
Cares? Doesn't matter who it is.
I couldn't do it.
Dude, every broad you know has 109 yards of dong.
I never
Everybody gets laid.
I certainly don't care about anyone the girl I'm with used to be with. But yeah, I don't know if I could handle it.
I couldn't do it. I know
what,
it for
that your girl is with the.
It doesn't matter how good that vag is that I'm about to dip into.
Right.
I know she's in the other room getting railed by some guy. I couldn't do it. I absolutely couldn't do it.
For sure. Really?
If we were,
I don't know if I could.
If
but
me and a girl were,
I would try to be open to it.
If we were casually dating. Casually, and that's okay. I understand. I'm not against it. I wish I could do it. I wouldn't be able to get that dong out of my mind.
Of course.
You know what I mean? But knowing that she, there's a penis inside her and her, you know, in that thing.
With the other guy.
That's mine.
I have absolutely no jealousy if a girl I'm with is with a girl. That doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Not at all.
I've had that kind of
situation. What if the girl
before?
Is tougher than you?
If like you ever hear?
I think I might like that. Actually,
you hear about guys that want to watch their wives getting banged.
That's a little weird.
If my
only because
wife,
you're not doing any, you're just watching.
Because I went to a swingers club once with my girlfriend just to check it out. We didn't do anything,
right?
Because we weren't interested in like swinging, but you know we were down if a girl wanted to join.
Sure.
And I mean these swinger parties. I mean, here's the thing. People throw around words like dank basement full of perverts all the time without really understanding what they're saying.
No, they're in beautiful hotels. They have, you know, they're in like some where you have like ballrooms where you have parties. I mean, you know, sometimes they're in very nice places.
Oh, no. This was like an emptied out warehouse.
Oh, really?
With a bunch of disgusting old, and I don't want to get racial here, but people who appeared to maybe be from some countries where women didn't have certain rights.
Ah, okay.
They appeared to be from countries that had a lot of oil where women were treated a certain way.
And
we from realized, Canada.
And it
okay.
was literally just, we were like observing, and we think they were all just guys who got hookers to trade with.
Like I could see that, yeah. Especially
hookers.
That.
Pretending to be their girls.
Or if I don't even people even, I don't even know if there's a pretense to that. Just that they were like bringing hookers as like bartering chips.
I've seen a few videos of those certain Canadians, but I've actually seen videos of that where it's just you know you've got these oil guys with gold and all kinds of stuff, and it's just they just walk around with the dongs out, and these girls just whoever wants it gets it, you know, but you know they're hired they're sleepers, they're hired hands, they're like Donald Trump's presidential speech.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to segue into something. I was just...
Well, no, Trump, actually, when you start talking about gaudy people from, like, Dubai, you can't help but think of Donald Trump because he's, like, he's an American who wishes he was, like, a Saudi prince with a bunch of slaves. I mean, remember, he was making fun of America saying, you know, I flew into Dubai and they have much nicer airports. I'm like, yeah, they also have slaves. They have fucking slaves.
Yeah.
They were sitting on top of a giant pile of fucking oil and they have slaves.
Yeah.
That's why they can have gold trimmed fucking hallways.
Ask Pakistan and China how many people have died building those man-made. I think it was Pakistan and China have the most deaths. It's literally, it's
well, Qatar
thousands.
Qatar, you know, they had that whole thing where they exposed that the World Cup was completely corrupt, and that's why they were allowing the World Cup to take place in 130 degrees in Qatar. And, like, the number of people who have died making their new stadium is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
It's fucking... And, like, that's the country that Trump keeps putting, like, America is a garbage dump, and we should be ashamed to be inside it.
It's a good Trump.
I'm the best. Like, I mean, that speech was such a fucking rambling mess that he...
But, I mean, nobody's shocked
at that. He's comparing us to Qatar. And he's like, I've seen a lot of these Chinese bridges are bigger than the George Washington. And I'm like, do you think the George Washington bridge should be bigger?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Widen the Hudson?
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's funny.
Like, you know why those other bridges are bigger? They're over bigger bodies of water. What the fuck are you talking about?
He's such an idiot. He really is a moron.
And people keep talking about how smart he is. I'm like, you know what? You can be good at math and still be he's a witless idiot. He's witless. That's
and
the
how
point.
About, and I think a lot of people, when you could learn a little bit about business, and get handed an empire. Maybe you could keep it going.
I'm sure he's great. Look, I'm sure he knows how to do math.
He's been
in
doing
his head.
It forever. I, you know what? If you've been doing comedy 20 years, you should be pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Even if you're not the greatest comic, you should be very well. You should have some good comedy
let's
skills.
Let's be clear. We know some people been doing comedy for 20 years and are god awful.
It's true.
Believe me, we could rattle off some names.
I know.
But the point is, he has a certain kind of intelligence. Real estate. He knows real estate.
Yep.
He knows that property can accumulate money, and he is used to that. But for the love of Christ, he's so fucking stupid. And at least Sarah Palin is uneducated. At least Sarah Palin came from nowhere and was, you know, just some bumpkin who you know, got a few jobs and managed to end up being a governor and a mayor. But Donald Trump has no excuse. He grew up in New York. He went to a great college. He talks about the idea that, like, well, maybe we don't understand him, but there's no denying that he's very unaware of how stupid he's coming across, that he speaks like a stupid person.
He has to know. He has to.
No. I think he truly believes he is charming our pants off.
I've never liked him. From the moment I first heard about him and Koch used to go at it, I just don't like this guy.
Something
very unlikable about him.
I'm really rich, and that's not, you know, being braggadocious. I'm saying we need a president who tells the, like, he's so, remember he was like,
that's actually pretty good.
Like,
man.
Here's the problem with Trump as president. If Donald Trump really were president, which obviously could never happen, if he was president, he would not be bothered. I think he's the only person running for president who would not really care if he ended up being the worst president in American history.
No, he would just be happy he's
I think he
president.
Wouldn't give a shit. I think if he destroyed America, he would say, well, if America can't survive a real president, maybe it shouldn't have survived. Like, I think he would actually have that thought process that he's more important than the future of the earth. Like, you know how I feel about the Republican Party. I actually honestly feel bad for everyone else running for president, they have to deal with this.
it's to a point now where Trump isn't the craziest person on the Republican side right now when it comes to the candidates. He's an ass.
He's not right,
but he's not the craziest.
No, Ben Carson is crazier.
Rand Paul
might be crazier, but Donald Trump is by far the
unqualified.
He would be the worst president of any of them. I'll absolutely say that.
He's keeping his name relevant. I never take him seriously.
No,
he's a real estate broker. You know what I mean? His casinos are bankrupt. They're gone. His buildings are half empty.
I heard the Taj is doing great. They have a new comedy club.
But I never take him seriously because all he's doing is just keeping his name relevant. You know, whether it's a TV show or, you know, the TV show's not on for a while. What happens? President, I'm going to have a meeting. I'm going to say I'm going to run for president. Like, so now everybody's talking about Donald Trump. So all this shit, you know, however he uses it, the publicity, he's just keeping his name out there. I don't take him serious.
And there's a certain element to just like a person who's just willing to just be like a huckster. He knows he's lying. He thinks we're all. I think he honestly just believes he's maybe by 50% smarter than the smartest person on earth. He thinks he can just lie to us about this shit. Like when he said, I'll make Mexico build a wall around themselves. And then they said, well, how are you going to do that? And he did something that you can do when you are Donald Trump and you only surround yourself with people who need you to survive. You can bullshit. And everyone's like, yes, right. Mr. Trump. He has no.
He doesn't interact
with people who don't work for him ever.
That's a good point.
So he has no idea who he is because he never, ever has to interact with people who don't just have to do what he says. He's the worst kind of sycophant.
That's a very good point.
He's a sycophant lover. He's only surrounded by people. You only get to be near. He's like Justin Bieber. You only get to get close to him by kissing his ass relentlessly.
Right, that's why guys like Tom Cruise think that he is brilliant and thinks that everything he says is right because he just surrounds himself with people who say, you're brilliant.
That's why he said, I can't believe, how could Obama possibly win? I don't know a single person who likes him. You only know people who agree with you. That's why you know them to begin with.
Right. They're there to agree with you.
And he says, like, if someone asks somebody, could you imagine what he, as president, the tantrums he would throw. Could you imagine just him? As I feel like as president, he would just have these sweaty, screaming, banging his head, being like, oh, Congress won't do what I say. I swear to God, I'm going to get... Like, he would have... I feel like he would just have hysterical crying tantrums the day he had to actually do this job.
Brent just put a couple of tweets that he... the concept of global warming... This is Donald Trump. The concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive. And then another one is, I know some of you may think I'm tough and harsh, but actually I'm a very compassionate person with a very high IQ with strong common sense.
Like, you have to be exceptionally unintelligent.
How come that's not true? It's in a tweet.
You have to be exceptionally unintelligent to be that non-aware of yourself, to not realize right. how stupid you say, how no one intelligent ever has to say the words, you know, I'm really, really smart.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, big dick syndrome. Nobody with big dicks ever say they have a big dick.
Exactly. No one intelligent actually uses the word dummy.
I have an enormous penis.
No one says dummy when they're insulting someone. If he was halfway intelligent, he would have the ability to insult people. Yet every time he tries to insult people, he looks like a fucking moron. When he tried to go to war with the guy from Modern Family, and the guy from Modern Family was making fun of him, he was talking about Modern, he goes, yeah, you failed show. My show was bigger. And it's like, do you have any idea how much bigger Modern Family is?
That was his argument?
Piece of shit show ever was.
That was his argument?
Yeah.
Even if it was true, that's your argument? Well, that's all you have?
And you know why he was attacking the guy? Because the guy, Trump was saying, China's eating our lunch. If I'm president, we need to stop China
from taking over
our manufacturing. We need to stop him from doing this and that. And the guy Levitt just put up a picture of Trump. It was like, Trump whatever, made in China. And it was like, you fucking hypocrite. Talking about all the Mexicans are rape. Here's the thing. He has no problem saying Mexico is sending us all their rapists, as if Mexico is telling these people to come here.
Right, right.
Like, they're not coming here on their own. So, but this is the amazing part. He says, oh, Mexico, they're all rapists. I assume some of them are decent people. So he didn't want to go out on a limb and be found to be lying later when he said that somewhere, anyone, one of them must not be a rapist. He wanted to hedge his bet, not say
by saying
that
there might be one.
Because
if you say one, then you're covering your bases by not saying they're all.
There are some that aren't rapists. but I don't need to assume. I can say as a fact, most of them are rapists, which he got from Ann Coulter. That's Ann Coulter's new thing. She goes on and on about how illegal aliens are rapists and that we're encouraging, and that if you're a liberal, you should be against Mexicans because Mexicans rape, was her big thing.
Oh. Jesus.
Some of those guys are a little freaky, though, when I see them riding around their bikes in my town.
Mexicans?
Yeah. Late at night.
No, those are Hondurans.
Oh, but only because...
They would kill to be Mexicans.
But I'm saying, they freak me out because they're riding on their bikes on the highways.
Yeah.
And they're in dark clothes. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
They're in a chef outfit.
What are you doing?
Well, they're lazy. That's why they're riding a bike to a job in the middle of the night on the fucking highway.
Exactly, but what are you doing? Everyone, you're going to get killed.
Everyone calls them lazy and that they're taking our jobs and doing it for no money. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you can be both lazy and work 30 hours in 2 days for a half minimum wage.
And still have to ride a bike an hour and 15 minutes home both ways. You know, one way in the rain and the weather, and they're always there.
Wayne asked Brent, says, I just want to see him put Trump in big gold letterings on the White House. And what's funny is that he probably would do something like that, which is probably more of a, how do I put it, gaudy black thing that people would say that when Obama first became president, all the things that, the jokes that they said he was going to do, soul plane for Air Force One,
and probably
going to have, KFC buckets of chicken. And it was like, you know what? The closest thing to that is really probably Trump putting gold letters on the fucking White House.
Don't you feel like Trump, his first major act as president would be to say, we're going to take all our infrastructure money and we're going to spend it on just making our airports have gold lining. That way we project success to the rest of the world.
Right.
And then it'll come back and we'll get more. I bet he thinks on that level. We need to project success.
He's a fucking casino owner. He's a fucking shyster. He's a real estate broker. That's two big ones. Those are two big, full of shit ones. If he was a used car salesman, he'd have to fucking
he'd have
to
trifecta, right?
Fucking trifecta bullshit. You know, a casino owner, a fucking real estate agent, and a fucking
remember when he
used
was
car broker.
Remember the Rosie O'Donnell thing?
Yeah,
he kept calling Rosie O'Donnell fat.
Fat.
What Donald, that? How fucking fat are you? Jesus, he looks like someone just poured pudding into a suit, and he's calling Rosie O'Donnell like you definitely weigh at least 50% more than Rosie O'Donnell.
But that's all he's, you know, that's what he does. He's basically the high school football player who doesn't have anything to say except the obvious and when they're smashing people.
His son once said that he was planning to sue Rosie O'Donnell for slander by lying about his father's hair being bad.
Bad?
His son once said, I'm going to sue, we're planning to sue Rosie O'Donnell for lying about Donald. And he said, what specific lies are you referring to? And he said, she lied and said he was chubby. She lied and said he has bad hair. And stopped talking.
Bad hair?
Yeah. That's the kind of human beings he raised. That's what happens when you raise someone like a in a cult-like family.
I love when people talk and they talk about his kids and they say, oh, they're good. I'm like, don't even
when,
try
when, what's,
it.
When the daughter,
don't even try it.
What's the daughter's name?
Because they talk about him because they were on there. Because they judge him by being on a reality show.
She's got a weird lisp.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Trump Jr. does his hair like it's 1986. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he looks like the greases, from the guy American Psycho.
He greases his
hair
back.
Looks like Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Does he really?
He dresses and does his hair like he's cosplaying as one of the guys who went to jail for a savings and loan scandal.
Unbelievable. Fucking shithead. What are you going to do?
You want to talk about something else?
Let's take a quick break.
Yeah, let's take a
you
break.
You want to do a breakaroo? All right, let's do that. And then when we come back, we'll get into some more stuff here. Let me just find the shit.
Yeah, we got Dave Cyrus hanging out.
Yay. I got a new video. Put it up yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
It's Gay Pride 2015. Brickstone. I just do what I always do. I went to Gay Pride. I, you know, fucked around, did some stuff.
All right, cool.
That's my fourth year in a row. Because, you know, gotta feed the beast.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Dave is the character Brickstone on YouTube. And if you put Brickstone, and then pretty much things come up from the Gay Pride Parade to especially the Westboro Baptist Church, which get huge, huge numbers. And Dave just embarrasses those people and has fun with everybody else.
This guy really looks like a fucking jerk off.
he really does. He's looking up Donald Trump Jr.
Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, I'm telling
it
you.
Really
looks like,
is, yeah.
Like every, it's weird how every picture, he looks like a different kind of douchebag.
He could have been on the Jersey Shore. He could have been on the Jersey Shore.
He wants to be a Kennedy so bad. It's
is that what it is?
Funny. Absolutely.
He's so pear-shaped, too. I love it. I love how pear-shaped he is. He looks like one of those guys who's got like no shoulders, but he's got like motherly hips.
Oh, he's got childbearing hips for
a
dude.
And he's got a
nice.
He's got a weak fucking chin.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Conti and Kenny Show on MoreLikeRadio.com with our pal Dave Cyrus.
Say, gang, where can you find the Bob Levy Show?
It's in my ass. It's in my ass.
No, come on now, Bob. You can find The Bob Levy Show on iTunes or Stitcher.com or...
In my asshole.
Bob, stop. No, you can also find it at Podomatic.com. Or you can simply go to TheRevBobLevy.com where you can find all things Bob Levy, including The Bob Levy Show. So what are you waiting for?
My asshole.
Well, that too. Come on, everybody, tune in.
Contact the Conti and Kenny Show live by calling 240-HI-C&K. What the hell is that for a phone number? That's 240-442-2635. Or you can still use the old Skype address thing, name, whatever it's called, NPN Studios. That's NPN Studios, all one, and yeah. It's a complete load of rubbish. They never answer the phone anyway. And when they do, all they do is take a piss. Wankers.
To
subscribe to the podcast. Get it on iTunes, morelikeradio.com, or contiandkenny.com. And for that lovely show that's called Conti and Kenny Shorts, subscribe on iTunes or contiandkenny.com. The information's there on all the pages, all the websites, all the complete and utter box. Check it out. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's Conti and Kenny. It's a waste of fucking time. Just get on with it. Is that any good, Governor?
Who wants to get closer to Conti and Kenny? Everyone with gonorrhea does. So why not like the Conti and Kenny Show Facebook page? And now follow the show and them on Twitter. At C and K Show, at Joe Conti Comic, and at Kenny Michael 5. What a weird, stupid Twitter that is. Kenny Michaels 5. Yeah. Kenny Michaels 5. The number 5. What a fool.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page, listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Audience now. I got a fucking log in my underwear. That's right, I had a wooden cock. I was circumcised with a pencil sharpener.
Our pal, the late great Otto Peterson, is no longer with us. But his legacy of laughs lives on at OttoandGeorge.com. There you can order Otto and George's new DVD/CD in concert. And you can get his new t-shirt. Or anything Otto and George can be found at OttoandGeorge.com.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
I just got a text message from Dave Ingram.
Oh, really?
Yep. You know, Kenny once told me the best thing about fucking 45-year-olds was that there's 40 of them. Your boy, Pip.
Oh, he sends me little jokes, too, now. He's like at work. He's just like, me and him would text back and forth or something like that, and then after that, he just sends me little jokes.
It's the master, Dave Ingram, from Metal Breakfast Radio. Great podcast. Go to metalbreakfastradio.com.
Great pal, too.
And check out their podcast. It's such a unique podcast. It's so different than any other podcast you've ever heard that you should definitely check it out.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Hello? You are listening to the Conti and Kenya Show. Sorry, what? Sorry. The Conti and Kenny Show on, what's it called? MoreLikeRadio.com. You are listening to the Conti and Kenya Show. I said it again? Sorry. The Conti and Kenny Show. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's apparently what you are listening to. This is Barack Obama. You're listening to the Conti and Kenya Show on MoreLikeRadio.com. Wait a minute, that's what I said. What? Sorry. This is Barack Obama. You're listening to the Conti and Kenya Show. This is Barack Obama. You're listening to the Conti and Kenny Show. I was born in Kenya.
right, welcome back, everybody. Conti and Kenny Show. We got Dave Cyrus here in the studio.
That video, we don't even get into it, but yeah, if you want to see my new video, it came out yesterday. It's titled Pride 2015 Brickstone versus Anti-Gay Preachers and Conversion Therapy. Because we split up our time because I usually only get like a minute to talk to the anti-gay preachers before they remember who I am.
Right,
and
right.
Stop talking to me. So I spent the rest of the time put on a sandwich board that said, be straight, ask me how. And then told the gay people, you know, like made fun of conversion therapy, which sucks only because they were so drunk, not all of them got that I was kidding.
They thought that you were like really one of the people.
Yeah, like most people got it, but some people, if you were really drunk,
right,
you might just be like, you know, people drunk, they don't get jokes anymore.
Yeah.
That's why comedy clubs are like tough. Because like drunk people respond to hacky material. So, yeah.
Hmm. That's a good point.
That's what I even told people. I was like, it's a joke. I would just tell people like, okay, it's a joke. Do you want to stop now? do you want me to stop making fun of those people?
I know. Well, one of the things I wanted to just bring up real quick, one of the big things in the news was that Obama was on Marc Maron, which I think is really cool because I really enjoy his show.
Catch.
I love his show,
yeah.
The one on IFC.
That's a coup.
I love it, man. I've been watching it for 3 years now, or the 3 seasons. And then they find out that he's
seen
on it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Then he's on the, then he was on the WTF podcast, I think on, I think it's today, right?
Oh, is that when it, yeah.
I think it's coming on today. And so I want to check it out. I don't usually listen to his podcast that often, but I definitely, of course, I want to hear it with him and Obama. So the big deal was that Obama was quoted on his thing because they were talking about racism and combating racism in America. And Obama was quoted as saying, racism, we are not cured of it. And it's not just a matter of it not being polite to say nigger in public. Obama said in an interview for the podcast.
Good for him.
That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. Societies don't overnight completely erase everything that's happened 200 to 300 years prior. I don't think there's anything radical about what he's saying there. It's actually just a very rational statement. And I don't know. I think, but you know what? This is how pathetic the news organization is. The news are more intrigued for the fact that he used the word and instead of what he was saying. I have you up if you want to play something.
Yeah. I have. It's 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Let's take a listen real quick.
So, Andy, let's cut to the quick here.
Hold on a second.
That was Paul F. Tompkins, wasn't it?
I think so.
How would you like to be the second mic on that show? Like the guy trying to jump in with like punchlines while Obama and Mary.
And it's an amazing privilege for me to talk to you.
Listen, I'm a big fan, and you know I love conversations like this because you know, if I thought to myself that
it's actually Dave Cyrus doing Obama
when I was in college that I'd be in a garage.
Yeah.
A couple miles away from where I was living, doing an interview.
As president,
with a comedian. I think that's a pretty hard scenario to...
couldn't imagine it.
It's not possible to imagine.
No.
It is important for folks to understand how hunting and sportsmanship around firearms is really important to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of how they grew up, part of you know the bonding they had with their dad.
Yep.
It evokes all kinds of memories and traditions, and I think you have to be respectful of that.
Mm-hmm.
The question is just, is there a way of accommodating that legitimate set of traditions with some common sense stuff that prevents a 21-year-old who... is angry about something or confused about something.
He's trying
or
to take our guns
racist,
away.
Or is,
I heard he's going to take him in early 2009. You
know, deranged.
Yes.
From going into a gun store and suddenly is packing.
Yeah.
And can do enormous harm. And that is not something that we have ever fully come to terms with. And, you know, unfortunately, the grip of the NRA on Congress is extremely strong. I don't foresee any legislative action being taken in this Congress, and I don't foresee any real action being taken until the American public feels a sufficient sense of urgency and they say to themselves, this is not normal, this is something that we can change, and we're going to change it. And if you don't have that kind of public and voter pressure, then it's not going to change from the inside.
This is part of
you what like comedy.
I love comedy. And
who are your guys?
I was going to say this is part of what makes it so pathetic. The people who think that all these school shootings are arranged by the government in order to take their guns away, like they would need 30 fucking school shootings.
I know.
like the NRA is fucking God on the hill, and Obama is just like shuffling.
What do you mean? He's a socialist, so he's going to turn our country to Moscow. He's only, you know, it's 6 years in. He's only got a year and a half left. He better move along with that. I want my ration cards, goddammit. Two, he's going to take our guns away. He's had 6 years to do that. Hasn't taken one fucking gun away. Different states have made things more difficult for legal gun owners.
And other states have made things easier.
Make things easier, yeah. So, I mean, it cancels itself out. And what else does he want to do, Ken?
He wants to eat our babies and change all white people into...
Yeah, and he wants to give all black people a free Obama phone. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And the news, what is it? Obama intentionally uses N-word on podcasts.
Intentionally.
That's all they got from that? Intentionally.
You know what I think? In like 4 years, I'd say three and a half, like midway through, maybe 4 years, midway through the next president's term.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obama's just, he's retired, yeah. And he's just going to be doing Ellen and Oprah TV shows and shit. And his whole tagline is just going to be, I told you so. I told you so. Because everyone's like,
the Republicans,
blah, blah, blah.
They desperately want for him to be remembered as bad as Bush. His first day, that was their plan.
Yeah, right.
It was 2 weeks into his presidency that Dan Quayle's son was like, what, people think Bush was the worst president? I think Obama's the worst president. Like, you realize that by saying it his first week, you're kind of showing everyone you're full of shit?
Of course.
Same with the Tea Party.
And there were Democrats that were trying to do that. With Bush, even though I think Bush was more of a moderate when it came to being a conservative than anybody that, except for maybe Christie.
Bush didn't even know what the hell was going on.
We didn't
That's
need theories to attack Bush. We just used the things that happened. People attack Obama with these amazingly complex theories that they're spinning in their head of how they can legitimize. Because they basically said,
Benghazi.
We're so bitter.
Benghazi.
Yeah. We're so bitter about how much Bush was hated. We want the presidency itself to simply become something that no one can escape without hatred. They would rather destroy the office of presidency than just accept that Bush was a bad fucking president.
And of course, by the end of Bush's
And by the way, Joe, I'm
second
sorry, Joe.
Term, yeah. he of course, just like anybody at the end of their second term, is going to have a low approval rate.
Yeah.
Because Americans generally go, all right, we've had enough of this guy. Because whatever, look, in 8 years, everybody in this country has shit happen to them. So what happens is you sit there and go, I'm blaming that guy. So by the end of 8 years, you're like, you know what? In the last 8 years, I've had 42 different things happen to me that I'm not happy about. So I'm blaming that guy.
Right.
So it's just...
At the same time, Joe, you know, you make fun of Benghazi, but...
Benghazi?
A man
He's
died.
A comic, right?
A man died in Benghazi, and Obama and Hillary Clinton need to be responsible for the fact that under their watch, an American ambassador in an extremely dangerous foreign nation died, and I don't think any other president's ever had that happen to them.
No.
Oh, no.
I don't think any other president's ever had someone die while under their... supervision.
No, I don't think so, right?
The whole person.
Right. I think there was one.
At one point, we were talking about the three big things were ISIS, Boko Haram, Ebola, and Benghazi. That was like, people were just like, oh my God, there's just so much Obama's done. And it was like, what? Can you please count how many Americans have been killed by all this put together? Because you can count it on your fucking hand.
It's just amazing that there's so many... All I'm saying is that all of the things that people want, that they thought Obama was going to be, They're still trying to say he's going to be that guy. He's still going to be the socialist who bailed out the banks, by the way. That's a real socialist thing, right? Sure it was.
Oh, yeah. Extremely.
He's still going to be a socialist.
Definition of
he's
socialist.
He's still trying to give the black man a free pass, which I haven't seen. He's still trying to take away our guns, which he hasn't seen. So all these things that they said, this is what this guy's going to do, they're still saying, you wait. It's like, dude, I've waited 6 years.
Yeah.
It's nothing's happened.
They were saying that about Clinton. I remember William S. Cooper and those crazy fucking conspiracy writers were saying that in 1997 is when Bill Clinton is going to get all these stormtroopers and they're going to invade the homes of all Americans at the same time on Thanksgiving and make us into a prison state. And the whole time you're asking, like, how many police officers do you think it would be necessary to arrest the entirety of the country?
There's only about a million police officers.
Where's you going to get this 600 million cops, every one of them willing to just overthrow the country?
Right. Guys who have families of their own, by the way. Guys who have families of their own, they're like, listen, we're going to overthrow the country. So leave your family at home. Another cop will be arresting your family.
You remember a few weeks ago, the governor of Texas found out there was a UN exercise that he says, we're going to have our own people watching them to make sure that they're not invading Texas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the UN might invade Texas.
Texas.
What the fuck is... I remember the first time I found out who Alex Jones was. It was because Jeremy Levin... Our old friend, mm-hmm. Jeremy Levin, mailed Kevin Booth, Bill Hicks's old buddy, and said, we love Bill Hicks. We would love to know if there's anything you can give us. Well, Jeremy was crazy. So he was like, do you have like something Bill owned that I could have? And I was like, you look like a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
But when
it's
he sent
crazy.
Us, what Kevin Booth sent us was an Alex Jones tape. And I watched this and got slowly so fucking angry as I realized what this idiot was trying to push. And where he said, like, did you know that there is a large piece of land in Texas that the UN owns? This is where they're going to mount their attack from. I was like, what the fuck are you... Attack what? How are they going to get the troops? It's a fucking desert! And, like, that's where my long love affair with Haiti and Alex Jones began.
Right.
Although, you know, you ever hear that conspiracy theory about Alex Jones?
Yeah, that he's a CIA operative.
Well, that he and Bill Hicks are the same guy.
Yeah, that is the single dumbest fucking thing
I've
ever
heard.
It's
funny, though. You know, it's hilarious.
It's amazing.
They do look a little alike.
That was originally a joke, but that's the thing with conspiracy theorists. Even
well,
jokes.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, but
no,
they
it
do
was
look
a
little
joke,
alike.
But now people believe it.
And they're both from Texas?
Yeah. Yeah, Bill Hicks.
I thought Hicks was from Arizona.
Hicks?
No, he's from Texas.
Texas. There's only about 40 seconds left. You want to finish the Marin thing real quick? No. We'll jump right back.
Well, Pryor was an early
right?
one. Yeah. Dick Gregory.
You like comedy?
I love comedy. And
who are your guys?
Well, Pryor was an early
right?
one. Yeah.
He was a rapist and a
Dick
drug
Gregory
user.
When he was
oh
really,
my God.
You know, on the edge.
Yeah.
But you know what? I love all
Dick Gregory.
You know, Seinfeld's a whole nother different type. Louis, you know, I know is a buddy of yours. Yeah. I love
Louis.
I think Louis is terrific.
Uh-huh. He just made his life.
No,
he just made his life.
I mean, he's wonderful in such a self deprecating but edgy kind of way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and basically good hearted even when he's saying stuff that's pretty.
Yeah.
Even when he's jerking off and not letting the woman out of the room.
You know?
Yeah,
but,
he's good.
There's a goodness.
There's a goodness in him.
There's a goodness in him whenever he's...
As he's talking about cum all over, you know.
As he's forcing a young woman to watch him jerk off.
There's a goodness in him. I think he actually says there's a goodness in him. Hold on, we'll go back for a second.
Yeah, there's lots of goodness, and he's going to make
and
you watch it come out of him.
Even when he's saying stuff that's pretty, you know.
Wrong.
You know?
Yeah.
But you can, there's a goodness about him that comes through.
God damn it, Kenny, you got the wrong fucking clip.
Yeah, I know. It has nothing to do with
well,
that.
Well, the point is, he said the N-word, and people lost their minds.
And
because
that's the
obviously
story.
A black man can't say the N-word.
Well, the president, you know. But it's like, why aren't they looking at what he was talking about? Instead of just... saying, oh, well, he said that. It was like, He was talking about race relations. And I will say this. Anybody that tells me that things are worse now than they've ever been. You're not paying attention.
You just started paying attention.
Let me ask you, and anybody who thinks that, let me ask you something. When was it better? The 30s? Exactly.
You know, honestly.
What about the 40s?
People would say maybe the 90s. But the 90s were almost like an oasis.
We got
in American history.
We got a phone call.
And I also, I have the video where he says the.
Conti Kenny Show. Hello.
You're there.
Damn, what's up with the.
Is it?
The Skype is coming on. You don't sound good.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let it calibrate.
Let it calibrate.
Yeah, it calibrates sometimes.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh, there we go. What's up, man?
It wasn't working.
All right. Here, I'll get my headphones on.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a second to calibrate.
Calibrate, yeah. Kenny, you're using a big word. Yeah, calibrate.
Yeah.
The Skype needed to calibrate.
Yeah, yeah. What am I weighing, ball bearings in 1925?
Well, it'd be like if Hillary Clinton said bitch. Would you call Hillary Clinton misogynist for saying you shouldn't call women if you want to call a woman a bitch, you shouldn't expect to be respected for it? It's no different if Obama wants to say, you know why Obama doesn't say the N-word and just says the full word? Because he's the fucking president of the United States who's also black. He doesn't need to act like a child and use a euphemism. He's the fucking president. Can't we talk about something like adults?
Right.
Let's see if we can get the caller in.
Sounds like it's all right. It's Doug. What's up, man?
Yeah, sorry, guys. It's not working.
What the hell?
It was working for like a second.
Yeah. Can you hear?
Nah, it's not. It's cutting out.
You keep cutting out, brother. I don't understand.
I don't either. Must be.
Yeah, you can hear. You can hear the.
Try call again. Yeah,
give us a call right back.
Is he calling through his computer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why. If you can call through a phone, because can you call through a phone? Because this is a bad connection.
I can give you the phone number if you want to try it through an actual phone line.
Well. Yeah, I could, but I mean the phone line. It sounds pretty terrible.
Well, we're going now, right?
It just started working.
And now we sound good. Go ahead. Uh-huh.
No, it's because when we try to talk, it cuts him out for a while.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to lodge a complaint. Earlier, Joe Conti used the N-word, and I'm going to have to either he gets fired or the whole show has to be canceled immediately.
Did you?
Yeah, when I read what the president said.
Oh, you did? I didn't even notice.
And what authority do you have, sir?
I'm a concerned citizen, and I'm passionate, and I feel things, and that makes me more human than you.
You are not. Listen, I actually know you, and you are the furthest thing from having compassion or empathy, you sociopath.
Julian.
We gotta cut it. I'm sorry. I would like to talk.
Yeah. I love Nelson, too. It's Doug Nelson.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Fuck.
Tell him hang out, too. So we're going to play a real quick clip and then have him try to call back in about a minute and 47.
Okay.
We'll give it one more shot and we'll see. Like I said, we're still in the second studio. This isn't the original studio. It's still under construction.
We can't hear you, so we're going to have to do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, call back in about a minute and 50 once this clip is over, all right?
All right.
This reminds me so much of your old bit, Joe, about white people who are bitter about the fact that it's different when they use the N-word than black people.
Yeah, they just don't get it.
It's like some people just need to fucking accept that you can say certain things about your own people. You know, that's just how it fucking
and
works.
And it's a context. I mean, he was actually... discussing well, about
let's,
all right
yeah,
go ahead
yeah let's play it's only let's see if we got it this time. Son of a bitch.
I hate it every time you try to put a fucking video instead of the video that it says it is. It opens to some fucking no name CNN or some other anchor just talking about the thing you're about to fucking
to see.
I don't need you anymore.
They're
we don't need you.
They're you know what they are they're basically worse than regular newscasters, but they think they're hip and they think they're cool. And they're like, hey, and they're like lounging out. They're cool. They're like, hey, man, did you hear what the president said?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Sim Black. Welcome.
See, there is
everyone. You cannot just find the fucking video. It's got to be some fucking nobody just sitting there just being like, hey, you know how you already know what you're going to see because you read the description of the video? Well, I'm going to repeat all that. Like, I read the news all the time. I never watch videos because the difference in time it takes to read the information and to listen to some fucking person tell you, I don't have that much fucking life
right,
left.
Here, hold on a second. I found a clip that's 48 seconds. CBS Morning News. How about this? Thanks for the spinach.
Sorry.
here it is. Obama says nigger on a podcast. The president says the word. How much do you want to bet CBS Morning News bleeps it out?
Oh, they're playing what he says?
48 seconds.
Yep.
Oh, has to, right?
Obama talks racism, uses N-word in podcast
interview. The president says
48 by CBS Morning News.
I'll bet you.
How much you want to bet?
Without a doubt.
Let's see. They're going to bleep it out.
Yep.
President Obama weighed in on the ongoing conversation over racism this weekend, and he used
Obama
a racist
uses
word
slur.
That he did. He sat down with comedian Mark Maron for a podcast known for using raw language. In that
Not
interview,
that language.
The president used the N-word.
Yeah. No. Well, hold
it's
on.
Not just a matter of...
Pause it. I just want to say I cannot believe CBS News did not give us a trigger warning to let us know to turn this off in case we were going to be affected by this.
Yes.
We deserve...
Warning.
You need to have... If you have a trigger, you need to be told. Okay, go on.
Yeah.
Did you say trigger?
That's what they call it. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I said trigger!
All right, here we go.
It not being polite to say nigger in public.
Whoa!
That's not
wow.
They did it.
Hey, yo! Racism. CBS over here. Holy
not
shit.
Being polite I mean, to say nigger.
Wow.
They blur it out on the screen.
And it says Obama uses slur.
That's weird. They won't write the word. But you know what? Wouldn't it be a little disrespectful
and how about,
to
how about
the president
saying the president
that?
How about
talking about something serious.
Like Oprah's friend.
If we're really having a serious discussion about it, you say the fucking word. When you're coming from this.
Oprah's
angle.
Friend, right. What's your name? Gail. Who's...
Doing news now?
Yeah, she's on CBS.
Gail King is a news
person
now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, but she says the N-word instead of saying...
This weekend.
She's allowed
to. A racist
okay.
word when
That's
he
okay.
did.
I understand that.
He sat down with comedian Mark Maron
she's
for a podcast known for
Amazed.
Using raw language. Yeah. In that interview, the president used the N-word.
CBS News, we get the clip we want.
Wow.
It's not just a matter of... It not being polite to say nigger in public, that's not the measure of whether racism still exists.
He laughed after saying
there
was
a
slight
just a
giggle.
Of overt discrimination.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh was like, here, watch this.
Societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened 200 to 300 years prior.
You know, the good question is like
President Obama says that attitudes have improved in his lifetime.
Yeah. Is it? Here's a real question, though. I hear this a lot. People saying, oh, and you say racism is over. Who are the people who actually were arguing that there's no such thing as racism anymore? Meaning that if a black man becomes president, there's no such thing as racism. I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
Well,
isn't
that's
it?
Just like saying that. That's the complete opposite of somebody who says every cop is a racist.
Go in the chat room with White Ass Brent.
If it's Bill Hicks, why didn't he age?
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah. It's great.
You saw that?
It is a little... it's hilarious.
Half of these things they fucking Photoshop anyway.
Yes.
It's just his eyes got really puffy. Same teeth. Yeah, same number of teeth. What are the odds?
Well, it's like... if you want to go... Like, I'm almost at a point.
He's a dead ringer. Yeah. He's got the same number of teeth.
I'm almost at a point where Facebook, to me, I wish I can go through... And just, like, not even look at Facebook anymore. But, of course, we need it to for what we do. And I have some people that I, you know, because it's getting... My problem is the predictability with people when it comes to certain things. Like, how you're talking about racism, right? And saying, there are people that say, well, the president, you know, we have a black president. There's no racism in the world. That's as silly as saying things have not changed a bit. Since 1960 fucking eight.
I'll say this. I would, if you say things haven't changed over the last 20 years, I'll agree with that. I don't think racism is better now than it was. But you know what? It is better for one reason. Because I honestly think this. The people who think that things have gotten worse, no. The media is finally giving a shit. Well, we attack the media so much, but you know what? A black kid being shot by a cop who may or may not have been committing a crime didn't used to be national news. That's a tiny amount of progress.
In and of itself.
At least now we're paying attention to it.
In and of itself. But there also is a correlation with the fact that we get to see everything. So yeah. Now it looks
exactly.
Like there's more and more
because,
things going on
because now our camera phones
picks up everything.
You know, I did a joke about this. I was just a tweet where I said, you know, when they started having camera phones, I honestly was really excited because I thought, okay, if there are aliens or Bigfoot, we're finally going to see it. And the one myth it proved was how the cops treat black people. That was the one thing people thought was a myth that we got confirmed. No Bigfoots, no aliens, no Loch Ness fucking monster.
Just
police brutality. Thanks a lot, iPhones.
But there's an absolute truth to that. So do I think there's more police brutality now than there was 20 years ago? I don't think so.
You know what?
I think we see more of it now. So now it's what everybody calls an epidemic. Everything is an epidemic.
I don't think there's more racism, but I am willing to believe that the police have gotten more militaristic in the last 20 years. I don't think it's nearly what people think it is. It's not this explosion because camera phones happen to be capturing it. I mean, Rodney King was 20-something years ago. That was I think we all know what happened to Rodney King was not an aberration. That was how the cops treated, certain cops treated certain people. But there is a problem right now that the police have become more militaristic simply because 20 years ago, local police precincts didn't have surplus military hardware. And now all these local precincts are buying these tanks and these surplus military weaponry that they're now because
they're calling them urban command vehicles,
right? And it's
urban, and
I don't necessarily think that's related directly to racism, but there is a certain sense the police are getting a little bit more military, a little bit more us versus them, and I honestly think a lot of it is rose-colored glasses, looking back at, oh, the old days, the cop would walk the beat and he would know everybody. Yeah, well, in the old days, the cop would also stand there while you hanged a black kid who whistled at a white lady. So things aren't that great. If you look at the longer scope of history, things might have gotten, I think it's possible things might have gotten worse over the last 10 years by a certain percentage. But they're certainly better than they were in the 80s.
Back then you got caught.
And then the longer you go back, the more better they are. But I'm willing to concede that I don't think we've made any progress in the last 20 years. And Obama's presidency has brought certain people out of the woodwork who said, I was going to be quiet, but now I need to say about...
Oh, hang on one second. We're going to try Doug again. Hey, Dougie.
Yes.
Howdy.
So am I coming in clear?
You sound good.
Well, I don't feel good, Joe.
Why don't you feel good, Doug?
I didn't get my nappy time today.
Oh.
That you really shouldn't use that word. That's really not appropriate.
Oh, my
word.
God. Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
I think it's very problematic that you use the word nappy while talking to us.
That's friggin' hilarious.
I always say nappy.
Well, I didn't even realize it.
I always say nappy.
Yeah. You got to be careful.
Fucking Dave. I didn't even fucking realize that.
Good catch.
So what's going on, brother?
Well, I'm trying to listen to you, but with all the technical problems. So what? The country's being burned down by communists or something? I can't remember what.
Yeah, we're figuring out that, you know, the president, after 6 years, he's finally going to instill his big plan to take all the guns away and bring in ration cards. And get in the bread lines.
Huh?
Bread lines. Yeah, he waited a little bit, you know.
And his buddy Farrakhan. Every time I turn on the TV, it's Obama and Farrakhan up there. I've literally heard people say that. Like, Obama would sprint away from Farrakhan if he saw him walking toward him on a stage.
Yeah.
One of the greatest Farrakhan speeches I ever saw was after he had colorectal cancer and he had treatment and it was C-SPAN and I've never found the clip. And I just happened to be trolling the, rapidly. I wasn't trying to watch news. And C-SPAN came on and was Farrakhan. So I'm like, what's this fucking guy talking about? And the reporter goes, how you doing after your cancer treatment? And he goes, well, I'm doing okay. It's a tough way to recover, you know, with all the probe in the rectum.
The what?
You know, also
Louis Farrakhan said probing the rectum. Yeah, and he also he had colorectal cancer.
Farrakhan was terrified that people would find out that he actually requested a Jewish doctor. That was his big secret. He was worried about.
No kidding, really?
No, of course not. That's a fucking joke, you idiot. Yeah, Farrakhan asked for a Jewish doctor. That's
that's fucking hilarious.
That'll be the day.
God damn. So
probing the rectum.
Probing the rectum.
Wait a minute. Did they actually show his colon?
No, no. It was like right.
Well, then we don't know. He probably made the whole story up.
Yeah. Well. He made it clear that he was uncomfortable with all the probing the rectum and.
Yeah. Oh well. Okay. That makes sense.
Could you imagine like there's a doctor and the doctor is like, I'm anal, basically anal raping Louis Farrakhan with my digits, you know.
How do you get into that field, you know?
And how do you get lucky enough to get Farrakhan as your fucking...
Yeah.
Like, that's just got to be funny, man.
Wouldn't you love just like as your finger is up his ass, you're just like, so honestly, did you kill Malcolm X?
Yeah, I know. I got you now, you bastard.
It's whoever that doctor is.
I can feel your heartbeat. I'll know if you're lying.
Exactly. It's a medical lie detector test.
Just his own little payback, you know? Just his own little payback.
But I think Farrakhan also believes in aliens and stuff, so, you know, perhaps it was a nightmare, then he got abducted. And, of course, the story about the aliens is that they do love to probe you in the ass.
They're also lazy. Yet they work really hard. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand how you can be both lazy and work all day. It's these aliens.
No, he means aliens from outer space, Dave.
Yeah, so do I. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, that's like Otto's old joke, which is like, you know, he doesn't believe anybody ever got abducted by aliens. Because it's always the same thing. You got abducted and, you know, you got anally probed. Didn't anybody ever grab a t-shirt on the way out? How about a pack of matches? Did anybody get something in that fucking spaceship? Nobody has anything. And little true, get yourself a t-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I got on a spaceship and all I got was anally probed, you know? Just something, you know?
The matches is great. Pack of
matches. Yeah, get a pack of matches or something.
They traveled trillions of miles of light years in space to come poke you in the ass.
Exactly.
It's and why is it that they come up with that? You know, it's like, is there something else you want to tell us? You
know. Here's the thing: if aliens came down, I would accept them probing Farrakhan's asshole, or a head of state, or like a king.
Okay,
or
somebody
something.
Who has of importance or power.
Yeah, but okay, Jethro from the outskirts of Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, who gets hit with a tornado every other fucking week?
Who hasn't washed his asshole in 3 days?
Who cares?
And
about
they're going to probe that one. Pick a shiny asshole, you know?
Again, problematic word, shiny.
Oh,
maybe
sick.
You shouldn't
thank
use
you.
That.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, man.
All right? What's going on
left
here?
Left to do the show.
What's up with all the accidental racism going on
I
here?
I know,
accidental, huh?
I didn't even think of it.
Yeah, it leaks out.
It sure does.
Comes to the surface.
Oh, now we got a friggin' phone call. Hang on, Doug, because you're on Skype.
See, now he's going to fall apart.
Hello, Conti and Kenny Show.
Hey, it's Jake Link.
Jake Link,
what's
going
on,
man?
Nerve.
You got some balls calling here after blowing Dave off at the Stress Factory.
Yeah, you didn't even fucking say hello, dude.
No, it's not the case. That's not the case. I actually went outside looking for Dave stuff, and I didn't see him. And, you know, I wasn't going to just... running around into the green room and having Vinny with his come at the frog accent, hey, where are you going? Yelling at me and stuff.
Well, fair
enough.
That
was a great Kermit, by the way.
Did you like the show?
I love the show. Me and my wife, we really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
How's wifey doing? Tell her I said hello. I haven't seen you guys in a while.
She's doing really good. Trying to have a baby and all that fun stuff.
Very cool.
So,
very good.
Yeah.
No, good for you.
Way that Brent just called me out, and Dave called me out. I just need to get on there and stick up for myself.
Did Brent just call you out? That's funny. That's hilarious.
Were you the guy hiding behind the potted plant, staring at us during the show? Was that? Were you the guy crouching down?
He's like, yo, dude, they're talking shit about you. You're going to start a big podcast fight.
Yeah, exactly. So what else is going on, brother?
I don't know, and just do my show on Sunday nights and stuff, and shopping the point. I just did Paletta's project for the No Station Required.
Oh yeah, that's right. He actually he's going to do a thing with me and Kenny, but he got Anthony Kumi and his brother Joe to do an interview, and Levy a bunch of people, and
tons and. Yeah, no, I just did it. He came by on Friday. It was a great time.
And you know what I want to say? We've talked about this off the air, but anybody listening, this is Jake. This is just an interview, but me and Joe want to do the interview. Can I mention this? If anybody knows where that?
No, we kind of figured it out. Remember from?
Did we figure it out?
Well, Provenza gave me the.
What it is Otto in the Aristocrats. There's a bench that he taped it. Paul Provenza taped him on this kind of old driftwood bench in Central Park, and we're trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, I got in touch with Paul Provenza, and he told me approximately where it was, and Coletta said that he knows where that area is,
okay,
and we should be able to find it.
Perfect.
So we're going to do our interview either on that bench or near that bench where Otto did his great scene from the Aristocrats.
Do you want to sit behind me or in front of me?
Best scene in the movie, by the way.
On your lap.
You want to sit in front of me?
Yeah, it was a great scene. And of course...
Yeah, who's going to be George?
We're going to have to straddle it.
Of course.
To get the authenticity.
And of course, Otto was also a big part of Dave's last project. Project.
No, he was incredible that he helped me out with that.
Yeah.
And,
Archie Black.
Archie Black, The Worst, which is a great mockumentary about the worst comedian on the fucking planet. And, you know... Otto was very instrumental in getting Dave a lot of people.
I was with Dee Snider like 2 weeks ago.
Oh my god!
I didn't get a chance to tell him about
Oh no! Don't tell him he's in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm still afraid he might do something.
But we're on the same episode.
I don't know. Let me run, Dave. Keep doing what you're doing with the Brick Stone thing. I see some of my friends who completely different circles posting your stuff, and I just think it's really cool what you do out there.
Thank you very much.
I'll talk to you guys later. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, and Jake, say hello next time. He takes it very personal.
I wanted to. What am I going to go? Hi, Dave. You remember me?
And Dave would have said no.
In the middle of his set. No. This is about me and Dave. We know each other, guys. It's all about show, and I'm just yelling, hi, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha, pal. All right. Be safe, man. Good luck with the baby, brother.
Yep, take care. All right, bye.
I was actually just Googling to find the link to my new Gay Pride video, and I found a Vine that someone made of me from last year's Gay Pride that I didn't even know existed. That's funny.
Oh, cool.
I'll look at that later.
Do you want to play a quick George Carlin Explains Why You Should Say Nigger? No?
We can
move on.
Know all that shit.
Since we're on the subject, can we...
About what's her name?
Okay, I shouldn't have said while we're on the subject of, let's say, racism.
Okay. Good. And Doug, hang on the line for this, because I know Doug has an opinion on this.
Rachel Dolezal. Okay. I heard Bill Maher defended her. I honestly believe it had to be because he was ignorant of all the details. This is not a woman who became black so that she could help the black community. She is a woman who became black because she has a mental disease and helped the black community, basically doing a good thing for the wrong reason because she wanted to push herself up as a great leader of black people despite being white. And by the way, when she said there's nothing white about me, the fact that you couldn't just help, you had to be a leader, that's pretty fucking white. The fact that you couldn't just help the NAACP, you had to be president of the NAACP.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
exactly.
A pretty white thing that you just needed to be in charge to do this. And what people don't understand is you're not helping racism when you fabricate acts of racism. You're not helping anything at all. You're trying to increase racism. You just wanted to increase it for your side.
Yeah, it was all for her own personal.
The police are saying that they think that she planted death threats against herself.
Really?
No, they found there was a noose in her locker that the police revealed had a fake postmark. Meaning that it had been placed directly in by someone who had a key and not through the post office, which I think we agree means it sounds like she's been making. And this was before she got caught. They said this. She had had 10 death threats over 9 years, nine death threats over 10 years, and that they think that they were this is all part of the same disease. She wanted attention for being a victim. She has racist Munchausens. You know, the disease.
racist Munchausens.
That's brilliant.
That's fucking funny.
Exactly it.
Yeah.
racist
That's fantastic.
Hannah Michaels said that to me. Racist Munchausens. It's like it's a mixture of like narcissism and like histrionic disorder, but with when you tell people you're sick with her, it's telling people that she's persecuted.
Right.
And
right.
I actually know people who are like a little. The reason people are so sensitive about it, where they were like, well, you know, I mean, when I was I'm white, but I hung out with a lot of black kids growing up, and I started to think of myself as like an like there's I'm not saying anything. If you're a white person and you prefer the company of black people, you like to you want to become an African-American studies professor. I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that. She is a liar.
Yep.
And there's no such thing as being born another race, because race is entirely cultural. And being born a woman is not cultural. And here's the difference. If you took took Bruce Jenner at birth, to Caitlyn Jenner when she was still Bruce, and maybe just got her a birth, and put her on a desert island with Rachel Dolezal, 20 years later, there's a very good chance Bruce would realize he's Caitlyn all over again. He very well might have just been born with a woman's brain, because we've been calling him a woman for 30 years. Whereas Rachel Dolezal, if they're in Desert Island, the concept of what black and white wouldn't even exist.
She wouldn't even know what it is.
Meaningless as eye color. But gender is always going to exist.
Right.
Whereas race is
whether
a
you're
construct.
Living by you're on a desert island by yourself or you're on Manhattan, you still know that you have certain body parts, and your brain might say, "This isn't what I feel." I don't feel this way.
Just because you can be born gay and you can be born a hermaphrodite, why can't you be born simply having the wrong brain? We're all born with female brains. We're all born female, and then the hormones from the mother turn you into a male. Obviously, things can go wrong because, as we know, there's no such thing as intelligent design making sure these things go smoothly.
No?
Wait a minute.
The little tiny soul in there... my only thing with somebody who gets gender reassignment, I don't think it should be lumped in with being gay.
Oh, you know what?
I don't like that, only because I think, look, you're gay, it's what you are. Everybody can relate to having sexual urges, except yours are towards the same group, you know, the same sex.
And you're right, it is
but
very different.
But I think it's more, I think, because if it wasn't for a doctor or science, you're not getting this work. It's not able
it's
to be.
It's a culmination of an obsession.
But here's
where it might be maybe a neurological thing.
That, I would not say it's an obsession.
Like the Bruce Jenner did, that's his business, and I'd, you know, leave him alone.
It's all good.
It's too.
But fine, but it's not.
It's too prevalent.
He's obsessed with the idea of being a woman, because even after all and all the hoopla with his Vanity Fair cover, you see what you're looking at is a man's ideal of a woman. So he's still a man, but he's a man who wants to be a woman and is obsessed with it, and obsessed with it his whole life.
I totally disagree, and I'll tell you why. Because it's too prevalent throughout human history to just be an aberration. Just like with gay people, there are gay people and there are transsexuals.
Well, that's an entirely different thing.
Every society has men who want to have sex with men and men who want to live as women. It's just one of those things that is clearly... There are 1,000-year-old coffins that have transgender people in them.
Don't you think they might be more of like transvestite, which I think, what is it, ridiculous? 90% of transvestites aren't even gay. They're straight guys who just want to dress up like
honestly,
women.
I don't know what the term transvestite actually means. All drag queens are gay almost. Drag queens, people who perform as women, are almost
exclusively
gay.
Well, I'm talking about guys who
gay.
Just secretly... They
but,
go
well,
out.
Yeah, but in the case of Bruce Jenner, he's constantly saying, no, I'm not he's gay, I'm not attracted to men. He's, you know, I guess he just basically wants to be a lesbian.
Yes,
that's what he wants to be.
And you know what, though? I know several transgender people. All the transgender people I'm friends with are still attracted to the opposite gender of their original gender. So one transgender person I know was born male, is a woman now, and dates women.
Dates women. Yeah.
I know another, a very funny comedian named Natasha. These are actually both very good comedians. I know one is named Natasha, one is named Rye O'Reilly. Natasha, very, very funny woman. Most people, I don't think, wouldn't even be able to tell that she's biologically was originally male. She's married to a woman, and it's a gay marriage. even though she's biologically male.
Holy shit.
And a woman is a woman. They have a child together that
holy shit.
She is the father of.
I need a calculator
for really
this.
It really shows
you. It's like calculus.
Like, it's actually a lot more than people think. It's not just gay men who just want to be women. There's something in the brain.
I think, but what I'm saying
like
is that I think
it's
more
like a potpourri of things here.
Colorado dickhead in the chat room. Every society is pedophiles and people that want to fuck horses. Are they in the same group?
No, because there's a victim and because it's not consenting adults. If people consent to it, you can't fucking compare it to raping children.
But what about the horse is of age?
Hey, look, if the horse is fucking you, I'll give you
what if
a pass.
The horse is of age?
No, but the truth is, to make the comparison...
Well, most horses come of age at 3 years.
To make the comparison to fucking kids is insane, because fucking kids is bad because it is not a consensual thing. That
right.
A child is not capable of
consenting. It's always a rape.
Sex. It is. Yeah. It's no matter how it's done, even if the kid thinks they want it, it's still rape.
It's still a manipulation
about,
at the very least.
We're talking about people that there is no victim here.
Of course.
And that it makes no sense.
Except for the photographer, let's be honest.
And when you compare Rachel Dolezal did
or the Brazilian
to Caitlyn
waxer.
Jenner, you're really explaining that you don't really get it to begin with. That there is a biological element to this, and there's no biological
there's
element.
There's a social
Dolezal.
Element to what Dolezal did.
Yeah.
She went on a, you know, she, because of the culture and because of whether because of what
she grew up
with or she watched on television, whatever it is, said, I want that kind of attention and I want to be a victim, but I don't want to be a real victim.
Right.
I want to be a pretend victim.
And she also didn't want to help black people if it meant she had to stay white and have the white guilt or white privilege to own. She didn't want to own the fact that as a white person, she had certain advantage over black people. She needed to be the victim. She has this righteous fantasy of oppression. And a white person who's able to say, you know what, I'm aware of what my people did, but I still want to be around and help this stuff. That's a lot more respectable.
And it
than
takes
someone,
and it takes a lot more.
Yeah, it takes a lot more balls than what she did, which was saying, I'm going to, you know, people say, oh, well, she abandoned her white privilege. Yeah, but she was black. She was pretending to be black among black people, where it's an advantage when you're in a black community.
You know what it
black.
Is? It's a baseball player taking steroids instead of doing it without the steroids.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, fuck that. I want to be part of this without actually being looked at as the person that is the problem.
Exactly.
So she gets to be in it and be like, hey, guys, I'm in the huddle. And let's go out there and get them.
And here's what's really
it's
important.
Like, fuck you.
Against the world. She wasn't some reconciliation NAACP president either. She was one of these fuck white people, fuck the writer of The Help. I don't, you know, she taught her younger brother, according to the other brother, to hate white people.
Oh, really?
She wasn't even helping. She was, well, she pretended that she was born in a fucking teepee shooting bows and arrows at a child, and she's never even been to South Africa. You know how fucking racist you have to be?
She's
to be
a
like,
retard, maybe a little bit too.
She pretended her own father beat them with a traditional slave whip. It never fucking happened.
Wow.
Did anybody mention, I'm not sure, I was scrolling through some stuff, that her her brothers are half black and one all black?
They're just four adopted brothers.
They adopted them. At one point, the family lived in South Africa, I think. And,
before she was born. Before she was born, they lived in South Africa.
Yeah, and
then she used that story and claimed it was her.
Right,
they moved back to America before she was born. When she was 15 years old, they adopted four African-American children. Some were a quarter black, some were half black,
all
black.
Right.
I guess she was
jealous of them, I don't know.
One of the all black ones and the quarter black one are the ones coming out saying what she's doing is wrong. She's been manipulating our youngest brother for years, turning him into some anti-white racist with her propaganda, all based on her fucking delusion.
Racist Munchausen.
To clarify, when Colorado Dickhead was mentioned in the pedophile thing, he's clarifying by saying, I'm just talking about the argument that you're born that way. I'm not advocating kid or horse fucking. So the difference is...
okay. No,
and you know what? The difference is...
I didn't mean to imply that you were saying those things are okay.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
And look, if...
I'm not... What a great conversation. I'm not advocating...
horse fucking.
Kid or horse fucking.
But the thing is, at least what I believe that pedophiles... are born that way. I believe there's a wiring issue.
Well,
there's something there, but unfortunately,
are most likely victims of pedophiles.
Yeah. That has
usually
to
it's just a
I would
circle.
Want. I would love to know the percentage of people.
There's
who
been
are
different
pedophiles.
Cases of that. I mean, watch those crime shows and whatnot.
A
when
lot
that
of pedophiles
scenario happen. Comes up, and there's some pedophiles will say, like Joe said, that even when they were kids. They were attracted to the younger kids,
everyone,
and so on and so forth.
All
you know.
Kids are attracted to other kids. you're supposed to grow out of it.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, unfortunately,
we never did. So
that's where natural selection comes out, and then we have to use our own way of saying, "Hey, listen, I'm sorry, but if you want to fuck, if you find children attractive, you have to go." I feel bad for them. I really do, because I think that that's just what they don't, you know what
it's
I mean?
Not like, their fault. It's not
I don't think it's an evil thing. Like, I'm going out and I'm going to ruin children's lives. Unfortunately, you do, so you have to go. Goodbye.
Right.
You just got to go. I'm sorry. I was born with a slow metabolism. Tough shit. We all have our crosses to bear. Okay. All right? And suck
every,
it.
And if every pedophile, if you had a way of magically turning every pedophile from wanting to fuck children to wanting to fuck grapefruits, would you ever tell them, don't let them have those grapefruits?
No, of course not.
You'd well, say, okay.
Not the ruby red ones, though. Those are really delicious.
Yeah, I mean, look, pedophiles are broken.
Grapefruit again.
And they need to take one. Pedophiles are just broken people who need to take one for the team.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right, man.
But a transgender or a gay person or a drag queen, any of those things, they are living the lives that make them happy without hurting anyone else, and it's insane to make that to just say they shouldn't. Whereas Rachel Dolezal is stealing.
Yeah.
She's putting on a deception that is stealing another person's culture. I mean, let's be fucking honest. People lose their minds when a 12-year-old white girl gets box braids on vacation in Jamaica. They call her racist. This woman, she was traveling three towns over to get spray tans every week. Getting at-home perms.
Yeah.
She's made a whole mockery of the issue she claims to be a champion of.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's a good kind of crime. Yeah. You know,
it's like Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby has done a lot of good things in his life, right?
Yes.
Can we all agree that Bill Cosby has raised money for good charities and has helped has helped the black community in all these ways? But none of those things are relevant when you're talking about his crimes, because at the end of the day, it is very possible that every good thing Bill Cosby ever did was all in the back of his mind to get away with being a rapist. His entire comedy persona could very well have been fabricated as a means to create a personality that would allow him to have the maximum number of rapes.
Wow.
And I mean, that would have to be the case, you know, because it's just so bizarre, and that many women, and to risk everything for that weird fetish he had. I mean,
let's face it, he's a smart man. And he knew how to.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying that's not a compliment. He's kind of a genius to be. He's an evil genius.
Evil genius. Yeah.
He created this personality that was so trustworthy and no one would dare say anything.
That's what makes it all the more creepy.
I've mentioned this before, where rapists are actually the natural problem solvers.
People don't get it. He's more of a monster.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Bill Cosby would be less of a monster if he was some creepy guy in a trailer park staring at women as they walk by.
Because there would be less victims.
Right. Because the fact that he's this guy, that he's perpetuated this idea, is what makes him so fucking scary.
And they said, I heard he's a knockout in bed.
Well done.
What an asshole.
Well done, Scott.
Big Scott's will.
Well done, Scott.
He also said, if they, when you're talking about the grapefruit, he goes, if they fucked a watermelon, would that be racial?
Oh, man.
No, you can't fuck a watermelon. It's too loose.
Yeah. You get like fucking those pits down the head of your cock. Down the chute of your fucking dick. You know, the black seeds come down the head of your fucking...
You gotta
squeeze the fucking end of it for it to shoot out like a Scud missile, you know?
Or you would just come out like a Pez dispenser.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, they would spit out like a fucking elephant sneezing, you know?
Then Gallagher runs in.
Yeah, I love everybody's take on this broad because, you know... It's like everybody was going for the obvious, and it was like, no, this is a lot deeper.
You know what's good, too, is there's been a couple of clips of her being interviewed where, like, you know, they're pulling the pulling the curtain back while they're talking to her, and she just panics, and she's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And like,
it was like watching you catch a predator. You get to see that.
I love
seeing the worst moment of people's lives.
Exactly.
Like, don't even bother playing it because it's all about the look in her face.
You just see
her whole life
crumble.
When they asked her,
the guy said, "Are you African American?" And she's like, I don't understand the question. And then Gawker had an article. Goes, here's a test to find out if you're black. Are you black? Yes, no, I don't understand the question. Yeah. And if you pick yes, if you pick no around the answer to the question, it goes, congratulations, you're not black.
Yeah, it really is.
You don't understand the question. Yes, you fucking do.
You sure do, and that's why you don't understand the question.
She was, and you have to be so crazy to think you can get away with this forever. That's the thing about it.
Is that
how long do you think you can go, you
she
know,
went a fucking decade.
I bet you she thought she was never going to get caught.
Did anybody else
like
have
Cosby?
Any... Yes.
Well, at that point, I guess she had a right to think she wouldn't be caught. Because, I mean, that's a long time to go with that obvious scam.
Here's what happened. There were comments on articles from 5 years ago of people saying, I went to college with her. She's fucking white. What's going on? Right. And you know why she got away with it? Because who would fucking imagine?
Yeah. The balls on his bro.
Right, like, I literally, people are like, why didn't the NAACP do a background check? Because how could they possibly picture someone doing like, no one's ever fucking done this in like, since like the 1920s.
Right.
Since, I mean.
Yeah, there was one other guy that he was a congressman and he ran for, he's like 85 years old now. And they were actually interviewing him. But it was years ago. And he ran as an African-American on the ballot to win. And I don't know if he won or not, but now he was like, they interviewed him to get his take on it. But I have no more information than that. I didn't see the interview.
That's good. Way to go.
I just know there was a guy.
Well, you tried.
I brought nothing.
You know,
you're like
watching a baseball game. You're like, we have a pinch hitter. That's it.
Yeah. I shouldn't even brought it up because I got nothing else.
You could have a test to be like, is it okay for me to wear blackface? Are you Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder? If no, the answer
one
is
of the
no.
Greatest, one of the greatest.
I've never met a black person who had a problem with that.
No,
that's how
no.
great he was.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
I've never met a black person who thought. I've had arguments with people like, "What do you mean? When's it okay? It's never okay." And I brought up like, "What about Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder?" Okay, that was funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
he was talking about because it was about blackface. You have to put someone in blackface to have the discussion, which is what it was.
Right. Context. That's what.
Also, retards love the retard speech.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the only
people that don't, and I'll be honest, I think that the word retard is a lot more abrasive of a word than retarded. Retarded is a description to describe somebody, like you're saying somebody's Italian, like you're saying somebody's Jewish.
And I don't
actually
call them retards. I was using it as a joke.
Right, I know what you're saying. It's just hard to go. Like, if I said, hey, this guy that's coming in later on, I don't know if you guys know, he's retarded. But it's hard to say that in that
means
same
slow,
type.
You know,
it means slow.
The origin of the word was not, hey, let's mess with these poor, you know, messed up kids.
It just always sounds like it's coming from a little bit more of a ball-busting place when you go, hey, listen, later on we have a guy coming in, he's a retard. It just sounds a little bit more disparaging.
When you're a something, that's like you're basically saying your identity is this.
Is that, exactly.
Which is probably why, like, dwarfs don't like being called the word midget, because it's like, you're not just a person with this disease, you are this.
That's all you are.
I'm a person,
right?
And you're a midget.
You're a midget, exactly.
Is what it sounds like you're saying when you say that. At the same time, I don't know why dwarf is okay. I have no idea why dwarf is better.
I don't know either.
Like you're in a fucking Tolkien novel.
Yeah. Colorado dickhead, they must have figured it out because she was eating mayonnaise.
Well, one of her teachers like later said that I knew she was part black, but then she would just say certain things and eat certain things that made no sense. And here's the one thing I'll say this. I wanted so badly for her. The one thing she disappointed me with is she has a very white voice. She has as white a voice as you can imagine. I wanted so badly for the video.
To find that she's like an angry black woman.
I wanted so much for her to be one of those. Like, I want, how badly would it would have made her look so much worse even if she was just like shaking her neck back and forth doing the stuff. But no, she sounds white as fuck. That was the one thing I was really honestly hoping for.
She should have ended that interview with, oh, no, you didn't.
I mean, she's still racist against white people, even though she's white. She's going around saying, she said to a white reporter, she goes, I don't feel like I should have to explain what race is to someone like you, because I don't think white people even understand what race.
And you know what? Most,
how fucking dare
it's
you?
It's so annoying. Because you know what? Most rational black people wouldn't even say that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, unless you're black, people are like, no, it's actually very simple. I'm black, you're white. End of fucking discussion.
It's amazing.
You don't get to identify as another race. You don't get to identify as French when you've never been to France. You don't. Or you don't have any French blood. You don't fucking get to. They have been, because the whole point of it is you wanted the sympathy of being a proud black woman in America who has to deal with all this terrible racism. I'm not denying that. Of course it's harder to be black in America. There's reasons why it's harder to be black than white. Just on the, you know, on its own, it's not, maybe it's not harder to be a rich black person than a poor white person, obviously,
right.
But just everything equal, yeah, there's certain disadvantages, and she wanted to own those, and she wanted to feel like, look how hard I'm fighting for this. But when the second she said she was born in a fucking teepee,
I can't even believe she said that.
And hunted with a,
she said that either.
Hunted with a bow and arrow. That, how can you pretend you're not?
Where is her mind?
How
at?
Can you pretend you don't hate black people somewhere and deep inside you when, in order to pass as black, you were like, of course I'm black. I had a bone through my nose and I lived in a. Like, that's what you're. It's like saying I used to have a bone through my nose to say, yeah. I used to hunt with a fucking bow and arrow.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Her, she's making t-shirts and it just says, give me free.
Give us free. Give us free.
Give me free.
She wrote an article saying boycott the help because a white woman wrote it.
She doesn't. It's not even white guilt. That is. It's beyond white guilt. That is such a. She has such low self-esteem about herself that she had to pick herself up, way up, just to become a victim.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. When she was 15 years old as a single child and her parents told her we're adopting four black children, do you suppose that stuck with her?
Oh.
Do you suppose that stuck in her craw a little bit? And she said,
now
we're
getting to the origin of the story.
Oh, I'm not good enough for you, Mom and Dad? Stay tuned.
Just like, the story's just like an onion. Just like an onion.
Stay tuned. That's exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a...
You figured the whole thing out.
She's a bad fucking person.
Dave's a smart motherfucker.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people don't like him. Just kidding.
Including Jake Link.
Ah. All right.
All right. Only 2 hours.
Hey, Dave. Dave. I'm sorry. Douglas. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, Doug.
And Doug, I want you to plug your little show that you do with Night Night. Because I've been listening.
Yeah, it's on Automatic Night Night. It's a spoof of Batman.
Yeah, Dave, you might enjoy it. It's called Night Night, but it's K-N-I-G-H-T,
okay.
N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
And it's, what is it on? Podomatic?
On Podomatic.
It's very good, man. What was that guy you made? The Fooler?
Oh, yeah, the Fooler.
Holy shit.
People.
He was like Cancel if he was on meth. Fantastic, dude. And Doug is—he does all the work for the Bob Levy Show. Doug is
if it just
bits.
Watch out, because the shit he comes up with is absolutely fucking brilliant.
Isn't it great?
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Great.
Yeah, I couldn't. When I'm on Skype, I can't run my Photoshop because it interferes with it, so I couldn't put up the Joe Conte is a commie picture.
Oh yeah, he's always putting shit up in the chat. Conte's a commie.
Well, it's good to talk to you, pal. Thanks for calling,
Doug,
man.
Thanks for calling in, brother. Anytime.
Sure, man. Anytime.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Later. All right.
All right, and Dave, give us a rundown.
Your Twitter and all that shit.
All right, Twitter is Brickstone News. You can check out God Hates Brickstone, or just look up Brickstone or Westboro on YouTube. My new video is Gay Pride 2015. I will be at Zany's in Nashville this weekend. We're opening for Pete Davidson all weekend. Come down Friday through Sunday. Please come down. I'll be doing the roast battle at the Comedy Store July 21st. Please come to that. And whatever else.
Good shit, man. Fucking keep going.
Yeah, what a great show. The show really fucking picked up at the last hour. Let me see. Jake Link called in. He's got a podcast called something. What is his podcast called? It's about hockey. It's On Point or On the Point, something like that.
Hunt's Point.
I
I actually got into hockey a little this year with the Rangers, so I might delve into hockey a little more next year. So, Kenny, do you have any? No, you don't.
Yep.
I'm actually going to be doing a gig this weekend with the Reverend Bob Levy and John Kensel somewhere out in Pennsylvania, and I don't know where it is. So go to RevBobLevy.com, and you can get the info there. It'll be me, John Kensel, and Bob Levy. And go to Bob Lee. Go to his website if you want to get involved with the Last Comic Fapping. It's a contest that YouPorn is putting on. That if you send a 2 to 3 minute tape of your dirtiest stuff, if you win, you get $2,500 in cash. You get flown out to L.A. and you get the co-headline with the great Bob Levy at the Comedy Store.
You mentioned Doug Nelson's.
Yeah.
His night.
Night night.
Yeah. Big Scott's will. I'll look into it. Night, night. K-N-I-G. Night, night. I'll look into it. That's at the end of the first Batman.
Oh,
the new Batman.
I'll look into it.
I'll look into it.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Shit. All right.
Big Scott says, I'm plugging something. She's called Fiona.
Yep. All right. Everybody, don't forget to check out our show every weekend. Also on WMEX.
Yeah, yeah.
1510 Boston.
We'll be taping Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday.
Fridays. I'm not doing anything Friday, so we're going to do it Friday.
So we'll probably do it Friday somewhere in the afternoon, 1, 2 o'clock.
Yep.
And
Secret show.
We do a show where we actually put it out on Conti and Kenny, and you can listen and join the chat while we record our show for the weekend, which is on
Boston.
Boston every Friday and Saturday night at 1 a.m. on 1510 a.m. WMEX. And that's it. And don't forget to subscribe to the show, because all the shows are Boston show and this show.
WMEX, where liberty is transgendered.
No, it's where the conversation starts with a
transgender.
With a some sort of operation to get your cock removed or something. I don't know. But thank you, everybody. And Dave, thanks again, man. You kicked
thank
it.
Thank you.
You kicked ass. And that's it, everybody. Thank you so much, everybody in chat. You guys rule. You guys,
Dave, thanks again for coming down, man. Good to see you, brother.
Yep.
Keep doing your shit, man. It's great.
Yep. And like we always like to sign off, and we always do by quoting the late, great Otto and Peterson.
Otto and Peterson?
No, the great Otto Peterson.
I thought you said Otto.
Did I say Otto and Peterson?
You said Otto and Peterson.
I want to quote the late, great Otto Peterson from Otto and George by saying, take care.
See you next week.